Welcome to our October 14th, 2021 meeting of our Hawaii Island Borough Council. Before we begin this meeting, though, we'll ask our ancestors for some guidance and protection, that whatever we have to say today is meaningful. And of course, what we say is not so much what we say, but how we say it, how we express it. Yeah. Okay. So let's start off with asking for a little guidance. If you know this, Pule Ole, by all means, join in. And if not, by all means, join in anyway. Na o makua mai kala hiki a kala kau, mai ka ho kui a ka halawai. Na o makua ia ka hina kua ia ka hina alo, ia ka akau i ka lani. O ki ha i ka lani, o we i ka lani, mūlulu i ka lani, ka ho i ka lani. Ea nā pulupula o ko e nā kanaka e malama na iwi o nā kupuna. E mālama o ko ia mako. E ulu i ka lani, e ulu i ka honua. E ulu i ka pai aina o Hawaii, e ho mai ka ike, e ho mai ka ikaika, e ho mai ka aka mai, e ho mai ka mokono, e ho mai ka ike pāpālua, e ho mai ka mana. A mama ua noa. Again, welcome everybody to our meeting of this month of October. We have a full agenda today, which is nice. We haven't had one of those in a while, but especially all items are important. Always on our agenda, but of course we have a very special agenda item, which is agenda item H, if you're able to receive the agenda. I know the agendas are available also online as well. Okay, first and foremost, we will introduce ourselves. We have roll call. My name is Naleika Hakalau, and I represent the district of Hamakua. Can some of the other members please chime in? Mention who you are, district you represent, please.
Aloha, my name is Kalena Blakemore. I represent Puna. Aloha, good morning.
Aloha. Aloha. Aloha mai kako, aloha kakahi aka kako, ako des keia, ka uhoi.
Waiola, you're muted, Waiola. No can hear. Nothing yet. How's your volume?
Come on, wait one more.
Scott Mahoney.
Okay, go ahead, Scott. Kalamai.
Ooh. Yeah, sorry.
Lalakea, large landowner representative. Uncle Waiola, check when you look at the mute button, press the arrow next to the mute button. And sometimes if you're not on the right microphone or speaker, it won't let you speak. So select that little, there's a caret next to the mute. To make sure it says speakers or headphones are the right ones.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Okay. Hello, everybody. Waiola Iga, Amakua.
Ooh, thank goodness for these younger Kanaka who can help us with this tech stuff. Yeah. Thank you. Mahalo plenty.
Kala mai nale, I think we need to have more training.
Yeah. for the tech stuff. I agree. Learning is lifelong, so it's always important to learn new things. Mahalo nui for that. Anybody representing State Historic Preservation Division, if you can announce yourselves, please introduce yourselves to the ohana today at Keolo'olu.
Kelpiko Burial Site Specialist.
Christian Omura, Burial Site Specialist.
We have anybody else from SHPD today, Kia?
We don't have anybody else from SHPD, but we do have one of our deputy AGs, Lauren, here today.
I did see that. Lauren, could you introduce yourself, please?
Yes, good morning. I'm Lauren Chen, Deputy Attorney General, so I'll be here to answer questions.
Mahalo nui. Thank you for being here. It's truly appreciated. Mahalo. Kai, can you introduce yourself, please?
Aloha pihayao ko, pakaya pao. My name is Kai Markel. I'm Compliance Enforcement Manager for the Office of Land Affairs. Aloha, everybody. Thank you.
Mahalo nui. Kia, you had something you need to say?
Oh, Yeah, you know, just for the minutes, I recognize most people on here. I would say like 90% of you, but there's a few people on here I don't recognize, and I don't know the names that they have listed. So if there's anybody that, you know, wants their full name reflected in the minutes, if you can just adjust your screen names, and then if not, I'll just write it in as if I don't recognize you, I'm gonna write it in as what it's listed as that I can see.
Kale, would you also like to mute the chat to be able to type in as well?
I just yes. want to introduce Angela Briones. Actually, on that name, actually, it's my cousin Wilson Kanakaole from Hana attending today. Okay. Under his wife's name, Angela Briones.
Mahalo. Welcome, Hana. Maika ino. Aloha.
Sounds to everyone, or if you just want an individual person.
So, Kia, yes. Can you hear me? Did you want them to also type their names in the chat?
They can do that. They can do that too if they can't change the name. But, I mean, you know, again, this is just if they want their full name, you know, reflected in the minutes.
Mahalo. We did have one more council member just join us, I think. Clifford, can you introduce yourself and what district you represent, please?
Clifford Kupono Hilo.
Mahalo. Hello, Clifford. Good to see you, man. Aloha.
Anakala Nale.
Yes, Law.
Can we just ask that anyone who is not speaking mute themselves whenever they're not speaking?
Mahalo.
So that everyone can just no more like all over the noises.
So we didn't get all that feedback. Yeah. So again, if you aren't speaking, yes, if you could hit the mute feature. All you need to do is hit the mute the microphone. You can just click again and you'll be able to speak. Okay. My presumption is that most of you are here for item G of our agenda. Which we will get to. We're going to follow the agenda as prescribed, as sent out by Shipti. And first, we're going to start off with the minutes then. Okay, so we're going to approve the minutes for September 16th, 2021.
I move to accept.
A second.
Motion's been made by Uncle Desmond and seconded by Kalena that we accept the minutes of September 16th, 2021. Discussion. Any council members, any discussion? Okay, then if they're not, if we can have a vote, please. All those in favor, stipulate by saying aye or hapai kulima. Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, aole. Don't hapai ulima. Okay, the motion is carried. So the minutes for September 16, 2021 have been approved and accepted by the Borough Council. Okay, now we're going to get into our business agendas items. Our first item is descendancy recognition application of Michael Anthony Manuel to the skeletal remains of Eva Makuahine, Noah Kikuhaupio, Kahula Kikuhaupio McCumber, and Luther Robert McCumber, interred in Keolaka'a Pu'u Sorry, let me get my glasses focus on here. Keolaka'a Pu'u Maka'a Ahupua'a Kau District, Island of Hawaii, TMK, open parentheses 3, close parentheses 9-4-016, :013. Information, discussion, and determination. Discussion and determination whether to recognize the applicant as a lineal descendant to the identified native Hawaiian skeletal remains at the above location. The council may elect to go into executive session pursuant to HAR 13-300-25, open parentheses D, close parentheses. The council may close the meeting whenever location or description of a Native Hawaiian burial site is under consideration. The chairperson, by concurrence of a majority of members present at the meeting, shall be authorized to require the public to leave the meeting while the confidential matter is being discussed and reopen the meeting once the confidential matter is no longer being considered. Okay, so all of you should have received either through email or hard copy the recognition claims, confirmations by State Historic Preservation Division. And of course, the first one again is for Michael Anthony Manuel. Is Michael Anthony Manuel here with us today? Or somebody, is he with
us? Hi.
Sorry.
Hi,
trying to find out two screens. Oh, there you are. Anakala. Aloha mai. Aloha mai. Okay, so again, council members, two Hawaii Island council members from Hinano Rodriguez, History and Culture Branch Chief. Subject, descendancy recognition application of Michael Anthony Manuel to the skeletal remains of Eva Makuahine, Noah Kekuhaupio, Kahula Kekuhau Pio Macumber and Luther Robert Macumber, interred in Keolaka'a Pu'umaka'a Aupo'a Kau District, Island of Hawaii, TMK, open parentheses, 3, close parentheses, 9-4-016:013. For the purpose of establishing and substantiating a lineal descendant claim to the skeletal remains located at the above property, the named individual below has submitted an application to the Department of Land and Natural Resources, State Historic Preservation Division, SHPDI, for assessment and verification pursuant to Hawaii Administrative Rules 13-300-35. The administrative rules require that the applicant provide evidence of direct or collateral genealogical connections to certain Native Hawaiian skeletal remains. In this case, the applicant has submitted information genealogically connecting himself to family members who are interned at the above location. Those family members are listed below. Again, Eva Makuahine, Noah Kekuhau Pio, Kahula Kekuhau Pio Macumber, and Luther Robert Macumber. Therefore, the State Historic SHPDI, State Historic Preservation Division, recommends that HIBC, Hawaiian and Borough Council, recognize the individual listed below as a lineal descendant to those skeletal remains interred at Keolaka'a Pu'umaka'a Aupo'a Kau District, Island of Hawaii, TMK, open parentheses, 3, close parentheses, 9-4-016:013. Okay, so again, this is a lineal descendancy.
I'm familiar with this family and have visited with them, monitor their application, and it looks all good to me, and I move to accept it.
Mahalo nui. Is that a motion on the kala?
Oh, excuse me, yes.
Okay, thank you, Uncle Desmond.
I second.
So motion has been made, Uncle Desmond, and seconded by Waiola, that we accept the lineal descendancy claim for Michael Anthony Manuel to Eva Makuahine, Noah Kekuhaupio, Kahula Kekuhaupio Macumber, and Luther Robert Macumber. Before we take a vote, Uncle, do you have anything you'd like to add, inform us about, educate us about? Anything you'd like to say?
They have deep roots. They have deep roots in the community there. I'll ask Mr. Manuel to expand on that.
Please. Anakala, Manuel, if you can enlighten us, please.
Hello, my name is Michael Anthony Manuel. I'm requesting this because it's my kuleana to take care of the Iwi kupuna. And I just had a couple questions too. If there was ever a site visit upon that TMK, or is the boundaries of the cemetery, is it the TMK? You know, I just wanted to try and figure out, because I'm outside of the TMK. When I go there, I find other mounds and pieces of shroud, pieces of Iwi in the lots surrounding that is has been developed. So that's one of my questions here. So I wanted to see if I could get, if a site inspection has ever been done for that property, for that cemetery in Kau. So, and that is my great-great-great-grandfather and grandmother inside that lot. So I am here to represent them, and my kuleana is to protect them and everyone else in there. And there was more graveyards or more headstones and crosses that was in there. That maybe the 90s, my grandmother was tiptoeing through them, calling the names, and now it's all gone. They made a culvert right at the beginning of that property. So if anyone, SHPDI or somebody, could actually find out if there is any other names inside there, because there was a whole lot of other graves inside there. So mahalo.
Mahalo anakala, mahalo nui. Kia, do we have any answers for Uncle at this point in time?
I think a site visit is possible. We can go out there one day and see what we can do. I can look at the TMK, see who the property owner is, and I would have to reach out to them first. I would need to get permission to access the property, but a site visit is possible.
Yeah, so I talked to the owners of the place. It's Graham and Shirley McDonald. They're from Alberta, Calgary, Alberta, Canada. And I gave them information to contact Ship D for asking if you guys want to try and get on top of the property. So, and then if you need the information to try and get them, I can send it to you. Mahalo.
Mahalo, Nakala. Mahalo, Kea. And especially, Kea, is important, especially if, which I presume Uncle's lineal descendancy claim will be recognized and confirmed today, that his concerns be answered as quickly as possible. So his situation will be rectified. Especially the concern with, when he mentioned that there's graveyards even outside the TMK or the area that's fenced off, that is concerning. As always, as all Evie, yeah. Council members, anybody else have any questions for Anakala, Manuel, Scott?
Yeah, I have a question. So this thing is, seems like this grave site is on private land, right? Is that right, Michael?
Yes. Yes.
And is there access, free access, yes, or you gotta notify the owner?
They said I need to notify the owner, but I go over there and I'm alarmed at the grave site. And to me, if my Kupuna EV is there, I belong there. I have the Kuleana to take care of him.
So, yeah, I agree with that. But I just wondered if you had access and you know, it was free access for you and your family. So,
well, when I'm speaking with the owners, he's offering to sell the land back to me for what he paid for it. But I mean, in my na'au is, why should I pay for something that he think that he owns my Kupuna Iwi?
Mm.
So, I mean, I'm going to just tell you right now, get four lots around there that get grave sites on top, and I no more access to them because somebody else owns them. But that whole property is in the Royal Patent Grant. I have Palapala Silanui for that Apua. So, I mean, I'm at a point where I'm going to safeguard it because that's my Kuleana. So that's what I'm trying. I just like trying to make sure everything's here to your guys' eyes. It's all Pono because what I'm going to do is going to be Pono as well. So I like put up on stone wall. I like leave in place, but I'd like know if Ship D or anybody knows how big that cemetery is. Because my cemetery, what I'm finding outside of the TMK, if that's what it is, the cemetery is the TMK, then I think somebody needs to look at it and see where the TMK or the boundaries of this cemetery is. Because there's plenty of mounds out there and I still finding shards of bones. Then I'm just going to say, when somebody may look at them, and they said, could be animal bone, but when I hold them and I put them next to my pu'uvai, the thing come warm in my hand. So I know that is my ohana, that shards, that lot right next to them got graded, cesspool put in, and now they stay mowing the grass. And every time they mow the grass, the shards fly out. I stay finding them in the rocks. So I've got to be then. I like try go back and look at that Palapala Silanui and I'm going to try claim back that Ahapua because that's my Kuleana.
Wakilani.
Thank you.
Okay, mahalo. 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 Any other council members? Any questions for Clifford?
This question is for Mr. Manuel. Mr. Manuel, how long have you or your family consistently been going to your Iwi Kupuna and maintaining that burial site as best as you can recall?
28 years, maybe.
2018.
I'm 2018, but I have cousins who was Kuleana to take care of that place, Akamu, yeah. Then he didn't get me involved in this, but since 2018, I've been there. I've been taking care. And my Thank cousin. You. All my other cousins, mahalo.
Thank you very much for answering. I just want to address the council by saying this. Here's a prime example of negligence on the part of Shipti that fails to evaluate the impact of the EV on our Aina. Now, history will tell us of all the pandemics that preceded before when the Haoles came and the hundreds of thousands of people that died. Now, here's a man who comes here with a royal patent to support land ownership, consistently, generation to generation, as am I led to believe, to Malama that Aina, and Shipti is part of DLNR in the state of Hawaii, is refusing to recognize this man's ownership. That's total bullshit. It's a violation of his constitutional right. It's a violation of law. And we are here to do what? To defend the criminal? Are we here to prosecute with evidence those who've been maligning the law? Now, I'm talking about the U.S. constitutional law. Kingdom law can support this, but by evidence, this man has claim to this land in question. Why has Shipti failed to provide the jurisdiction, the maintenance, and the rest of it as necessary, as we're led to believe that they do? Why haven't they done this? Why are we putting this man on the stand, questioning him to his testimony, when we as the council don't have all the facts relative to what we're led to believe DLNR has given us through Shipti? That's my question. So Mr. Manuel is the least of Shipti's problems. Mr. Manuel represents the remaining descendants of the more than 1 million Kanaka that were here in Hawaii, whose descendants, whether lineal culture, whatever the state wants to call them, are still doing what they've always done. And now they're interfering with that after taking his land away, denying him his right to his own name, his family, and his culture. How does that work? Does AG have an answer for this? Because I don't want to hear anything coming from Shipti. Thank you.
Mahalo, Clifford, Deputy Attorney General. Ryan Chun, you have any comment?
As far as I understand the question, if there's a dispute about who owns the property, that's within the jurisdiction of the courts. That's not within Shipti or DLNR's jurisdiction. So if this, if there's a property dispute, he can certainly bring a lawsuit to vindicate his right, but that's not within this council or Shipti or DLNR's jurisdiction.
Let's just get this straight, AG. We are here independently. We are governed by the U.S. Constitution. Not what the state makes up conveniently to make lies legal, and the state's been legalized, the kauna in that. We know what our rights. We know that we can bring a cause of action against you for fraud. So we're not here as ignorant individuals. My question to you is, AG, representing the state, how is it that Shipti through DLNR continually is negligent in failing to identify the scope and the quantity of Ivy bones that are on this land? Why do they limit it to a boundary or something to a state's definition of what land ownership is? When you are on the Kanaka Maoli Aina, the definitions that we hold to as council, being Kanaka, are that of our ancestors, not of the convenience of 1959, the state's confusion's definition of what land is. So thank you for your attempt at answering my question. But my comment to you is that you failed to answer the question that all Kanaka have relative to our Ivi Kupuna. So I suggest you go back and you get somebody from your department that can come to these meetings and give us a real answer, not a pretentious illusion of what you believe the truth to be. Thank you very much.
Mahalo. La?
With regard specifically to your Ivi Kupuna, Anakala Manuel, Manuel, do you have anything specific that you want to share about the kupuna that you're a descendant of that we're addressing today with this descendancy claim? Anything, just pilina and anything you want to share about these kupuna that we have, Kikohopio and Makamber?
One of the TVs in there is a naturalized Hawaiian from Missouri.
Massachusetts. Yeah.
So,
Celtics.
All the bones is all the same color. It's white. So I don't understand if there is a Hawaiian or non-Hawaiian, because they're all same color, Ivy, white. And they're Hawaiian because it's Hawaiian. He's a Hawaiian subject, repatriated back into the country. He naturalized in 1851. So I will love them no matter what. I love all of you. Mahalo for this time. That's about it. If I have any other questions, I can try and pull it together. Mahalo.
Mahalo nui, anakala, mahalo la. Barrel council members, any other questions regarding this lineal descendancy claim?
Call for the vote.
Yeah, mahalo, Uncle Desmond. That's what I'm doing next. Okay, so again, a motion is made and seconded that we accept the lineal descendancy claim of Anakala Michael Anthony Manuel. All those in favor, please stipulate by saying aye or hapaiko lima.
Aye.
All those opposed, aole. Don't hapai lima. Okay, the ayes have it. So Anakala, you are officially recognized as a lineal descendant to those Ivi. Thank you so much for coming in today and participating in this process. I strongly encourage you to stay on and stay with us throughout this day. And especially if you have any comments, which you gave some good ike and mana'o today, especially when we get into agenda item H. Okay?
Mahalo.
Agenda, but if not, please have a great day and enjoy yourself. Kai, you had something you want
Mahalo
to say?
Mahalo.
Yeah,
hello. Sorry, real quick. I couldn't find the chat button. I mean, not the chat button, but the raise your hand. So I just want to map out really quickly how this should proceed. Otherwise, it's just going to, I can see it already that months and months and months are going to start going on. We have EV exposed, which is a serious concern. So, and Lauren can correct me from the state's perspective, but you have a cemetery here. And the cemetery, as Clifford pointed out, is across multiple TMKs. When TMKs come in, they divide up our Vahikupuna. But it doesn't mean that the heiau on one lot is not related to the Kauhale on the other lot, which is not related to the umu on the other lot. But we have to deal with individual people and individual landowners kind of piecemealing up these beautiful places that are kupuna new and named and recognized. So the issue of the landowner really has to be determined by DLNR, because they have to deal legally with the landowner, with notice, with their rights, with the ability to access. So if there is a landowner dispute and the state's on notice, they need to try and resolve that. It's not that, well, you guys got to resolve that. Well, if you're not dealing with the right landowner, then everything you're doing is a house of cards, in my opinion. Second is your jurisdiction is over unmarked burial sites. Unmarked does not mean no headstone. It doesn't mean no dates and no names. Unmarked actually can be a cemetery with names and dates and headstones. It's unmarked in the sense that it's in danger of being destroyed. Why is it in danger of being destroyed? Because it's not an actively used known cemetery that Department of Health and everybody actively watches and issues disinterment permits for and all of that. So I think this is a case that it is under the Borough Council's jurisdiction. And it could be a very well mixed jurisdiction like Kauaihao Church, where you have burials that are known and recent. And then you have older kupuna from way back when, stuck in between and deep down before even 1779. These are known burial areas. So the process to deal with this is you recognize Uncle's descendancy, which is awesome. SHPD has a mandate to inventory burial sites, unmarked burial sites around the state. That really hasn't happened in 25 years, sadly. The Burial Council, one of your primary functions is to help SHPD inventory these burial areas. And that whole idea is to be able to identify these sensitive areas before someone comes in and purchases their dream land in Hawaii and wants to start building something and find out that, oh, they have kupuna all over the place. That's what we're dealing with year after year, because 25, 30 years has gone by and we have not collectively gotten our act together to go identify these sites beforehand. So we're dealing with running in front of the dozers, especially like on Maui, when
they're building subdivisions in areas with 200 kupuna that everybody knows. So that's not what the law was intended to do. So SHPD, yes, have to, I would suggest get a bureau registration form. I don't know what information was submitted on the claim, Uncle, but the bureau registration forms are where you put down everything you know about what TMKs, the names of the people buried, any description. And SHPD uses that to go out, do a site visit and talk to the landowner of record and say, looks like this area, this area, this area is sensitive. Number one, you do not bring any machines or anything in this area. Number one, put you on notice right now. Number two, we're going to go look around and see if there's EV exposed. Because if there's EV, we have to remember that the landowner does not own the kupuna. Right. They do not own the burials. The state basically holds these EV in trust for the descendants. Nobody owns that EV, not even the state. But as a landowner, you don't own that EV. You cannot touch that EV. So that is the power of SHPD. And that goes back to common law, right? Who has the right to claim a body at the morgue? You got to be a mother, a brother, a son. You cannot be a stranger coming to take somebody's body out of the morgue. That's next of kin. That goes back to common law for 1,000 years. So what we need to understand is your power comes from next of kin in the ohana. You act on behalf of the ohana when there's no ohana here. But when ohana shows up, you have the power to support them. So SHPD has their bureau registration process. You have your own process. Your own process is you can take oral testimony, written testimony, maps, archaeological reports, you know, uncle's mo'olelo, and then you can decide if you want to recognize these burials. And then you make that recommendation to SHPD. And SHPD now has their own process. And the borough council says, guess what? We vote to recognize these burials, these people, these ohana, these areas, these TMKs. Now you have a stronger evidence to go to the landowner of record and say, well, you know what? We're not here to condemn your land, but guess what? This whole area is a burial ground. And then that on that side of that guy's property is a burial ground. And at some point, sometimes people realize that they're not going to be able to build anything because it's all burials, whether that is or isn't true. But that's what needs to be done. And that's what needs to be done on every island. And we're still dealing with people coming in, buying up 100 acres and planning their resort when it's a known burial ground. It's been a known burial ground for 50 or 100 years or more. So to me, that's your process here is, you know, SHPD has got to start. I would get the registration forms done. You know, maybe someone could help Uncle fill them out with the names and what he knows. Site visits important. The borough council should agendize this again and bring Uncle back and listen to his testimony again and then decide if you want to recognize these burials as such or not, or portions of, or start with what you can and then continue working on it. But that's kind of the process that's got to happen here, because months are going to go by, kupuna sitting in the sun, you know, and I know Kea is overwhelmed. I mean, that's one of the big issues, right, of SHPD not having resources or staff. And I know. So I just want to map that out really quickly. That's how I think this case should progress. So, and I'll shut up now. Thank you.
Thank you, Malo Kai.
Thank you, Kai. Kai, I was going to offer a little more, but before we proceed any further, Kai, can you please expound as to your connection with the Burrows program, please, before you joined OHA about 18 years ago? So everybody knows from what POV you are coming from, Keolo Lumai.
Oh, sorry. So, I am a Native Hawaiian rights attorney, graduate of Richardson School of Law, and after law school, I worked as an investigator for Commerce Consumer Affairs RICO unit in Hilo, and then moved to Oahu, or back home to Oahu. And in 94, I started with the Burial Sites Program at State Historic Preservation Division with Hale Aloha Aiao. And then I think around a few years later, he departed and I took over as director. And then I like to say I left in 2004 after 10 years, but my position was defunded after 10 years. There was no money for my position anymore. And it's so strange when I look back at that time and Hokuli and Walmart and all the issues I was beefing the AGs with and the chairperson, but somehow my funding disappeared from my job. And then right after that, well, I picked OHA picked me up. And as you'll see, from a chronology, the burial sites program was pretty much dismantled after I left. And it's not an allegation. I have all the documents and all the proof. So I feel for Kea. I feel for everybody, for Christian, everybody trying to do the right thing. And I see people on here who've been in the battle for decades. And Unile have been through much. But I look at my own mortality. We got to do something already. We cannot let this go on for another 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. You know, so I'm like, this is it. I'm not holding back. And, you know, we need to do something. And OHA is not one to be pointing fingers either. You know, OHA has got some serious issues as well. So it's time to, the truth is the truth. And we need to rise up and take care of our most cherished possession. As Mary Kovenevakui says, our kupuna, the Ivi of our kupuna. So thank you. Aloha.
Mahalo, Kai. Just wanted everybody today to understand where Kai is coming from. Especially involvement within the Burial Sites program, especially from its very inception, its beginning. And I know he was very much involved in many of the cases that occurred in the 1990s that happened on this island as well, including Hokulea and a few others also. So I'm very happy that Kai was able to join us today. Of course, he's not only dealing with the EV concerns on our island, but all the islands throughout the Paiaina of Waianae. And of course, I'm surely appreciative of him being here today, especially when we get into, of course, agenda item H, which real quickly again is soliciting testimony for the Office of Hawaiian Affairs Burial Sites Working Group regarding the care, management, and protection of unmarked burial sites, which is a very, very important issue. Always been an important issue, will always be an important issue. Yes, different.
Kalamai, just to interject, given Kai's testimony and his background, one thing he failed to tell us, he's an amazing artist. That allows we can see his spirit connecting to the Aina. But in addition to that, I would hope that the Big Island Burial Council would seriously consider retaining Mr. Markell as a special counsel to what we're doing as we move forward. His background, his experience, his professionalism is well worth whatever our operating budget suggests. Given that for 18 months, we've not exercised our lunch money, I know that there's some cash that's in the background somewhere and that we would be really foolish not to retain Mr. Markell. And that is, you know, based upon his availability and that. But I would just put that before the council that we need people here who really know what they're talking about relative to the law, their background, their experience. Most of us that have just been screaming from the bushes, we get that there's that invisible barrier that we seem to fail to penetrate. Now, here's a man who has the experience of both sides of the coin, and we would be really foolish not to try to retain this man. Just wanted to present that to the chair. Thank you.
Mahalo, Clifford. Your Ike Manawa is always valued and appreciated, no doubt about that, and definitely something that we should seriously entertain, no doubt about that. I definitely know that whenever I attend a burial meetings and if I see Kai or Hale Aloha or Alan Murakami or Malia Akutagawa, I know that it's going to be a good meeting. We're going to get a lot of good information. So I mahalo them plenty for all they've done to and everyone else to Malama the Ivi of our kupuna. Mahalo nui. So thank you everybody for accepting Uncle Michael Anthony Emanuel's recognition, lineal descendancy. And now we're going to go to item B of our agenda for today. And again, this is descendancy recognition application of Nicole Louie to unidentified Native Hawaiian skeletal remains located at Halikii, Ahupua'a, South Kona District, Aina of Hawaii, TMK, open parentheses, 3, close parentheses, 8-1-004:003. Again, everybody should have received the document from Shipti, especially from Hinana Rodriguez, but just in case, I'm going to read it so everybody's aware of what's happening. So two Hawaii Island Burial Council members from Hinana Rodriguez History and Culture, we should read the right one. History and Culture Branch Chief Subject, Descendancy Recognition Application of Nicole K. Louie to Unidentified Native Hawaiian Skeletal Remains located in Halikii, Aupua'a, South Kona District, Island of Hawaii, TMK Open Parenthesis 3, Close Parenthesis 8-1-004:003. for the purpose of establishing and substantiating a linear and cultural descendant claim to the unidentified skeletal remains of the above property. The named individual below has submitted an application to the Department of Land and Natural Resources State Historic Preservation Division for assessment and verification pursuant to Hawaii Administrative Rules 13-300-35. The administrative rule was required that the applicant provide evidence of genealogical connections to a Native Hawaiian ancestor who once resided and or buried in the same Ahopuʻawa district where the unidentified skeletal remains are located or originated from. In this case, the applicant listed below, Nicole K. Louie, has submitted information genealogically connecting herself to Kini Maka, who once resided and or is buried in the Ahopuʻawa mentioned above. Therefore, SHPTI recommends that HIBC recognize the individual listed below as a cultural descendant to the identified Native Hawaiian skeletal remains located in Halikiʻi, Ahopuʻawa, North Kona District, Island of Hawaii, TMK, open parentheses 3, close parentheses, 8-1-004:003. Okay, council members, so this is descendants recognition application of Nicole K. Louie for Evie in Halikiʻi, Ahopuʻawa, South Kona. And I see that Nicole is with us today. Maikaino, aloha, Nicole. Aloha, mai. Kalena, you had something?
I just wanted to make a motion that we approve and accept her as a cultural descendant.
Okay. A motion. Scott, are you seconding?
Yeah, second.
Okay. So a motion has been made, Kalena, and seconded by Scott, that we accept the sense of recognition of Nicole K. Louie as a cultural descendant. Nicole, would you like to address the council this time before we ask you any questions?
Belina Maya. So good to see all of you. And hi, Kalena. Oh, sorry. I'm sort of kind. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, I.
Oh, okay. Hi, I'm Punale. So good to see you folks. Yes, what do you want me to say, Uncle Nali?
Just anything that would help to support your
Yes, Kini Maka is my fifth great grandfather. And his one of his children, Kiaka Onali, is my grandmother, and then she had a child with Haole man, Henry Clark, and Kaʻele Makule was his name. And Kaʻele Makule was the one who built the home along the Kekaha coast, Kekaha Waiʻole on the Kona coast, the first Hale Laʻau down at Mahaiʻula. And I just wanted to share that Kini Maka was also the konohiki for Maʻihi. And Maʻihi is not too far from Halikiʻi, Ahupuʻa. So therefore I'm doing a cultural descendancy because I don't know who the Ibi is, and I don't know if I'm related to them, but I am related to them, but not. So according to the law. Also I wanted to share Uncle Manuel. I know your genealogy. I've helped Lena Alafurin with your genealogy. So it's so nice to meet another member of the Macumber family and see your face and to hear your words and to share in your kaumaha with the Iwi Kupuna and what's happening to all of our Iwi today. I grew up with my grandmother taking me to all of our ancestral burial grounds, and she would tell me the names of the people buried there. And then she would tell me, "You're gonna come back next year and you're gonna tell me who is buried there." She would make me memorize their names. And so when I started working with Analu Josephides back in 2009, I went ahead and did all the registration for all the burial places of my ancestors and got my family involved. So that's another way of, that was my way of trying to save my kupuna from further destruction and from people wanting to buy the lands and You know, to me, just saving one spot or preservation in place, you're saving a piece of Hawaii. So every chance I have, I try to register for descendancy claim for Iwi Kupuna, because a lot of times some of the Iwi Kupuna are not even claimed for, and I feel sad about that. And I wish more of the younger people would get involved. And the other thing too is also, I'm sorry I'm going off a little bit, Uncle Nale, but when we do a preservation in place and then we get access rights from the landowner, I notice the landowner, sometimes they move away, they sell the property, and then we don't have connection to the landowners, and the phone number change. And so we got to look at this too sometimes. So I've lost contact with some of the burial places that I'm descended to, because the landowners are no longer there, or the phone number has changed. And so I think stronger laws should be put in place for even that kind of, you know, being able to continue our watch over our Iwi Kupuna and to visit our Iwi Kupuna that we are descendants of. So, and now I know. My daddy on the side telling me stuff. Okay, that's all. I'm sorry. Yeah.
No apologies needed, Nicole. None at all. You've been involved in these issues for many, many years. And of course, your Ike Manawa is always appreciated. There's no doubt about that. And I would also hope that, because what you mentioned is very important, especially again when we get to agenda item H. So I would hope that you would be able to stay on throughout the course of this this meeting, so that you can bring that up also when we get into agenda item H as well. Because that's a very, very important concern you just brought up. And we've heard it from a few other Lenape and culture descendants as well. Okay, I think we might hear that from Uncle Brother Jimmy a little later also. Harder to find these new landowners. Okay, so thank you very much. Council members, any questions for Nicole at this time? Anybody? Remember, this is for a cultural descendancy claim, yeah? Anybody questions for her? If not, then I'm calling for the vote. All those in favor of accepting Nicole Louie's descendancy recognition as a cultural descendant for unidentified Native Hawaiian skeletal remains located in Halikii or Ahupua, please stipulate by saying aye or hapai kolima. Aye. All those opposed, aole. Okay, the motion is carried. So Nicole has been confirmed as a cultural descendant to those remains.
Mahalo nui.
Mahalo nui, Nicole. Mahalo nui. Nicole, is Kupuna Agnes with you today? Is she here with us?
I can talk for her. Yeah. Wait. Mom,
sorry.
Well, you know, she's not really feeling good, so I'll stay on for her.
Okay. Maika, you know, mahalo. Mahalo nui. So we're going to go into agenda item C, folks, Borough Council members. Again, this is the descendancy recognition application of Agnes Louie to unidentified Native Hawaiian skeletal remains located in Halikii, Aupua, South Kona District, Island of Hawaii, TMK, open parentheses, 3, close parentheses, 8-1-004:003. Again, I will now be reading from the hard copy that was sent to us via USPS. And again, this is to the Hawaii Liberal Council members from Hinana Rodriguez, History and Culture Branch Chief. Subject to tenancy recognition application of Agnes and Louie to unidentified Native Hawaiian skeletal remains located in Halikii, Ahupua, South Kona District, Island of Hawaii, TMK, open parentheses 3, close parentheses, 8-1-004:003. For the purpose of establishing and substantiating a lineal cultural descendant claim to the unidentified skeletal remains of the above property, the named individual below has submitted an application to the Department of Land and Natural Resources, State Historic Preservation Division, SHPTI, for assessment and verification pursuant to Hawaii Administrative Rules 13-300-35. The administrative rules require that the applicant provide evidence of genealogical connections to a Native Hawaiian ancestor who has resided and or buried in the same Aupuaa district where the unidentified skeletal remains are located or originated from. In this case, the applicant, listed below, has submitted information genealogically connecting herself to Kini Maka, who once resided and or is buried in the Aupuaa mentioned above. Therefore, The SHPTI recommends that HIBC recognize the individual listed below as a cultural descendant to unidentified Native Hawaiian skeletal remains located in Halikii Aupua'a, North Kona District, Island of Hawaii, TMK, open parentheses 3, close parentheses 8-1-004:003. And again, this is for Agnes M. Louie. Okay. Council members? Kalera?
I would like to make a motion that we accept item C, descendancy recognition application of Agnes Louie.
Okay. I second that.
Wait, Uncle Desmond, second.
Yeah,
okay. Motion has been made by Kalera and seconded by Uncle Desmond that we accept the descendancy recognition application of Agnes M. Louie to the unidentified Native Hawaiian skeletal remains located in Halikii Aupua'a, South Kona. Okay. Nicole, would you like to speak on behalf of mom?
Yeah, Kalamai, mama not feeling good. She'll be 84 in November. So anyway, mama, she basically had a hard life. Raised all her life in Kona. Daughter of a fisherman, my grandpa Solomon Ka'ele Makule, and my grandmother, Lauhala Weaver, and Margaret Pelikani, and lived in Kona all their life. Mama was raised in Kona and related to many people. So through her and my dad, actually I'm related to many people on the Kona side and Kohala and Ka'u side. Also in Puna, as far as Puna, to the Kea family. But my mama, she says mahalo. Thank you, Kalena, and their council members. I'm so thankful that I get to talk with you folks. I'm shy, so sorry. Anyway, okay, that's all. Mama?
Anybody, any questions for Kupuna? Okay, then I don't see anybody's hand raised at this point in time. Come on, we got choke people today, so I'm going to call for the vote already. Okay, if there's no questions then, we'll call for the vote. All those in favor of accepting the descendancy recognition of Agnes M. Louie to identify Native Hawaiian skeletal remains located in Halikii, Aupua'a, South Kona, stipulated by saying aye or pai kolima ke ololo mai. Aye. All those opposed, aole, aole hapai kolima. Okay, aye. The ayes have it. Then at the Agnes M. Louie's recognition has been accepted by the council. Mahalo, Nicole, mahalo, and please mahalo mom as well. Ke ololo. And again, I surely hope you were able to stay on throughout the course of this meeting so you can be with us when we get to agenda item H. Okay, well, so we're going to go into item agenda item D. Again, this is the fourth descendancy recognition claim we're going to be looking at today. Okay, and again, this is descendancy recognition application. Question before I keep reading. Okay, sorry. Okay, descendancy recognition application of Jim Madera Sr. to unidentified Native Hawaiian skeletal remains located in Puapua'a, 2 Aupua'a, North Kona District, Island of Hawaii, TMK, open parentheses 3, close parentheses 7-5-020:068. Again, I'll be reading for the hard copy that was sent to us to the USPS. And this, once again, is two Hawaiian and Borough Council members from Hinano Rodriguez, History and Cultural Branch Chief. Subject, descendancy recognition application of Jim Madera Sr. to unidentified Native Hawaiian skeletal remains located in Puapua'a, 2 Aupua'a, North Kona District, Island of Hawaii, TMK, open parentheses 3, close parentheses 7-5-020:068. For the purpose of establishing and substantiating a lineal culture descendant claim to the unidentified skeletal remains at the above property, the named individual below has submitted an application to the Department of Land and Natural Resources, State Historic Preservation Division, SHPTI, for assessment and verification pursuant to Hawaii Administrative Rules 13-300-35. The administrative rules require that the applicant provide evidence of genealogical connections to a Native Hawaiian ancestor who once resided and or are buried in the same Aupuaa district where the unidentified skeletal remains are located or originated from. In this case, the applicant listed below has submitted information genealogically connecting himself to William C. Lunalilo, owner of RP7819, LCA8559B, Apana 8. Therefore, the SHIP theory recommends that HIBC recognize the individual listed below as a cultural descendant to unidentified Native Hawaiian skeletal remains located in Pua'apua'a to Aupuaa, North Kona District, Island of Hawaii. TMK, open parentheses 3, close parentheses 7-5-020:068. Again, a descendancy recognition application for Jim Medeiros Sr. Yeah, Borough Council members. Excuse me. Calling my yellow.
Looks good to me.
Malay?
Yes.
Well, I would like to make a motion that we recognize Jimmy Medeiros Sr. on item D and his, as a cultural descendant to the skeletal remains located at Pua'apua'a to Ahupua, North Kona District.
Alo Kalena, is there a second?
Okay. A second.
A motion been made by Kalena and seconded by Scott that we accept the descendancy recognition application of Jim Medeiros to unidentified Native Hawaiian skeletal remains located in Pua'apua'a to Aupuaa, North Kona District. Jimmy, would you like to share any information with us, please, regarding this claim? Jimmy, you're going to have to unmute, brother. Jimmy, you're going to have to unmute.
Aloha.
Can you hear me now, Ali? That's loud and clear. Thank you.
Is belong to an Kanaka from Minali'i, and he's going to make his house and stuff over there, and I'm involved with him and his preservation plans and his burial treatment plans that he's going to be bringing forward to you guys. So I was actually honored to be able to work on that aina in any way, because he's going to do all good stuff. We're going to have all the buffers, going to have all of the things that we would all have quite positive agree on for preservation and future care, eternal care of the sites on his land. So I'm there making sure everything's all right and making sure that the graves and all that is properly cleaned and cared for, which they are. They are actually in great shape, and he's going to be bringing that to the council soon. He's planned for building his house over there. So that is what's going on that I know. And that's it. Mahalo.
Mahalo, Jimmy. Mahalo, Jimmy. Council members, any questions for Jimmy regarding this descendancy recognition application? Anybody? If not, then I will call for the vote already. Again, all those in favor of accepting the descendancy recognition of Jim Medeiros as to unidentified Native Hawaiian skeletal remains, again, as a cultural descendant, all those in favor, please stipulate by saying aye, hopai kolima. Aye. All those opposed, aole. Okay, the ayes have it. So, Jimmy Medeiros Sr. Has been recognized as a cultural descendant to those unidentified Native Hawaiian skeletal remains located in Pua'apua'a to Aupuaa. Okay. Thank you very much, everybody. And we got one more descendancy claim. Let me just write this down. Okay. One more descendancy claim. And again, this is item E on our agenda. Descendancy recognition application of Jim Medeiros Sr. to unidentified Native Hawaiian skeletal remains, SIHP number 50-10-28-13534, located in Keopu 1, Aupuaa, North Kona District, Island of Hawaii, TMK, open parentheses 3, close parentheses 7-5-004:013. I will read once again from the hard copy that was sent to us via USPS. Again, this is two Hawaiian Island Borough Council members from Hinano Rodriguez History and Cultural Branch Chief. Subject, Descendancy Recognition Application of Jim Adair Sr. to Unidentified Native Hawaiian Skeletal Remains, SIHP number 50-10-28-13534, features ABC, semicolon 05057, feature G, and 12414, feature A and B, located in Keopu 1, Aupua, North Kona District, Isle of Hawaii, TMK open parentheses 3, code 37-5-004, colon 013. For the purpose of establishing and substantiating a lineal cultural descendant claim to the unidentified skeletal remains at the above property, the named individual below has submitted an application to the Department of Land Natural Resources, State Historic Preservation Division, SHPTI, for assessment and verification pursuant to Hawaii Administrative Rules 13-300-35. The administrative rules require that the applicant provide evidence of genealogical connections to a Native Hawaiian ancestor who once resided and or buried in the same Aupua district where the unidentified skeletal remains are located or originated from. In this case, the applicant listed below, Jimmy Madera Sr., has submitted information genealogically connecting himself to W.P. Leleohoku, owner of R.P., Royal Patent 6694, Land Claim Award 9971. Therefore, the SHPTI recommends that HIBC recognize the individual listed below as a cultural descendant to unidentified Native Hawaiian skeletal remains located in Keopu and Aupua, North Kona District, Island of Hawaii, TMK, open parentheses 3, close parentheses 7-5-004, colon 013. Borough Council members.
Nale.
Your motion to accept the descendancy claim, Keololomai. Yes,
Kalena. Yes. I just wanted to make that motion that we accept and recognize Jimmy Medeiros as a cultural descendant to item E for Keoku Ahupua'a.
Okay, mahalo nui. So, motion has been made. Is there a second? Okay, second by Uncle Desmond. So, motion has been made by Kalena and seconded by Uncle Desmond. That we accept the descendancy recognition application of Jim Madera Sr. to unidentified Native Hawaiian skeletal remains, SIHP number 50-10-28-13534, features ABC, 05057, feature G, and 12414, feature A and B, located in Keopu 1, Aupua, North Kona District, Island of Hawaii, TMK, open parentheses 3, close parentheses 7-5-004, colon 013. Again, Jimmy, was there anything you'd like to enlighten us with before we take the vote, please?
Thank you. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen of the council. And in this situation, this EV, this Kupuna EV is in this location is on Henry Street in Kona, on the corner of Henry and Alaho Street. It lies within that block. And what happened is it has been through the Borough Council in the past. Language was put in for perpetual care, all this different stuff. But as time has passed, they put in the Alaho Street. And in putting in the Alaho Street, they had to break into the buffer and move the buffer. So in that process of moving the buffer, they put back the stone wall differently. They exposed more of the grave site to like homeless activity. So homeless are living in there right now with construction all over the grave site within the buffer, living and defecating, doing all the stuff that's just too pilau to deal with. I made a lot of attempts to connect with the owner trying to get right of access. That's been the issue, right of access. And spent many months trying to locate the owner in all ways. Their phones no work, go to houses that no exist. I mean, the whole story is there. But my quest was to find right of access. As an Hawaiian advocate that I've been for a long time, I have the need for just go and take care of this kind of stuff. This kind of kuleana, I will just go and deal with the law later on. Feeling real confident that I'm going to be okay even at that point. But now getting older and looking at everything, I had support from different kind of friends network, whether in the county or in enforcement. So I wanted to use all these pieces for help the situation, you know, instead of I got to go tell the homeless, get out of there and have confrontations and all that stuff. Hey, maybe I can use the government agency for help Pokua, tell them to get out of the gravesite. So in that process, that eliminated my original intent, which was to just go and clean them and take care of it. Tell them get out and take out that rubbish and take care of that gravesite. But because I might be able to get help here and there, and I didn't want to involve agencies that landowners and different people later on can go after people, because then I have the right of entry. I you know, so I came to Nale and I asked Nale about if I can get right of entry from the burial council. And after going through all of that, and in the end of that, was right back to where I started. I had the right, the only people that get right of entry once the burial treatment plan is accepted is the descendants, because that's going to be written in the burial treatment plan, the access for the descendants. So that's our right of entry. So that's one of the reasons why I use my genealogy to connect to this site now, not in the past, because I never knew about them. I never knew I was in danger. But now I see it being desecrated. I brought my genealogy forward to try and connect to this site to gain that right of entry that we already had. But, you know, we're going to make it all legal and the right way. And now we can go in there as descendants and actually clean up the site and undesecrate that place the best we can. So that's the plan. And I'm thankful that you guys can accept my claim today. And yeah, and in the future, I guess your next on your agenda. Hi, aloha, cousin. Good to see you, Nicole.
Aloha, cousin. Good to hear you. Aloha, to my family. Can I say something?
Yes, Nicole.
Cousin Jimmy, I know this burial place very well. I have to go over there and rip the homeless. Sorry, but I know they no more house, but no make the house over there. But yeah, and supposed to be the Kanuha family too is involved with this one. And I presented you with a plaque, and that plaque was supposed to go over to that burial place. I don't know what happened to the plaque, but yes, I know this one very well. And there's an opening on the side portion of the wall, the Makamakai section of the wall. There was an opening, and supposed to be that's the access for us going to that place and clean up. So I'm so glad you did this, and I wish I knew. I would have gone and made a descendancy claim for this one too. So, but I thought the Kanuhas was going to take care of it. So
council will get the right to accept you as without all of this process. You know, I don't know, but because they already we related everywhere. We related to Henry Clark, to Kinimaka, all the same thing you just did. We are total family together. But anyway,
okay. But I come help you clean. Yeah, I come help you clean.
I let you
know. Let me know.
Okay. Mahalo, Nicole. Mahalo, Jimmy. And of course, as you mentioned, Jimmy, our agenda item F is a more of an update with regards to this specific issue that we have. Yeah. Okay. So mahalo nui. Borough Council members, any questions for Jimmy Medeiros Pinera regarding this descendancy application? Clifford?
Mr. Medeiros, if it was possible, would you be interested in entertaining the suggestion that you might be deputized so that you would have a recognized legal position where you could call the sheriff's department and have these violators to the sites that supposedly have been deemed under your jurisdiction as either a lineal or a cultural descendant? Obviously, there's no audit provision that I've been arguing for a long time to make sure that everyone's in compliance. But since you are knowledgeable, have a history of that site, would you entertain the idea that if we can make you a deputy through the sheriff's department, that you could simply call the sheriffs and they could come in and remove those people who are breaching and violating the law as it's been recognized, understood, and passed by at least this agency here, the Burial Council? Would you be interested in something like that?
I think there's some good ones for a discussion coming up later, because it's all related to some of the kind of actions I think about, and I as I understand your question, I think for me, I don't know if just right off the top of my head, if deputized is the right vehicle for me. But I know what you mean by what you, the mechanism you're trying to tell me about, but because I we kind of already deputized already.
But Jerome and the brothers.
We can be written in later, you know what I mean? We're already deputized. Like, I could have gone and cleaned them already. And then, because my genealogy gonna tie me anyway back to the place. So in the end, even if they prosecuted me, I should have come out okay by only doing porno work. So, you know, going in there and only doing porno within that boundaries of the burial issue, not for anything all over the person's land. But so we already deputized. That's why I'm sorry I was slow for answer, because I was trying to, you know, come up with what I really feel like. I already knew I was deputized, but I actually very happy I went through this whole process, because it also makes like one foundation for somebody else to run into this kind of problem, that they realize all their options. Yeah. Their options is, you know, several options is there for them. They can be cultural descended, they're written in with their access, they're set. If not, they can go for claim them as a Native Hawaiian organization if nobody taking care of that EV. They get that avenue over there. And they get one or two more avenues how to protect these EVs. So thank you for letting me share all that stuff.
Mahalo.
Mahalo. Mahalo, Jimmy. Any other council members, any questions for Jimmy Madera Sr. regarding this descendancy application? Okay, then let's call for the vote then. All those in favor of the descendancy recognition application of Jim Madera Sr. to unidentified Native Hawaiian skeletal remains, SIHP number 50-10-28-13534, features A, B, C, 05057, feature G, and 12414, feature A and B, located in Keopu 1, Aupon, North Kona District, Island of Hawaii, TMK, open parentheses, 3, close parentheses, 7-5-004:013. Okay. All those in favor of accepting this descendant application, culture descendant, please stipulate by saying aye, hopai kolima. Aye. All those opposed, aole. And the ayes have it again. So this claim has been recognized and is now enforced, which again deputizes you, right, brother?
Mahalo.
Mahalo. That was important. Mahalo.
Just don't get ka nuha.
And that is one, you know, and I know it's always good to have in-person meetings, but one thing, at least for Zoom, we can have Ohana from the Pai Aina and the world joining us. And it's really neat to see when Ohana gets to see each other, even though it's not real FaceTime, at least we get some form of alo yalo. Yeah. So thank you very much for that. And Jimmy, I'm also hoping that you'll be staying on through the length of this meeting, because I know you have a lot of Ike and Manao you can share when we come to item H as well. And I always appreciate to hear what you have to say, brother. Thank you again for being here today. Mahalo nui. Okay, Ohana, so we are going to go into agenda item F, and this is update on burial site number 50-10-28-13534, located in Keopu 1, Aupua, North Kona District, Island of Hawaii, TMK, open parentheses 3, close parentheses 7-5-004:013. Information to discussion on the above burial site. And again, this is directly related to the last lineal descendancy claim of Jimmy Madera Sr. Jimmy, I'm going to let you take the floor on this one. Keolulu mai. The
same one I just didn't talk about, eh?
How's that, brother?
The same one I just didn't talk about, eh?
Exactly. Now you can go more in depth. Your plan of action, all that kind of stuff, please.
Oh yeah. Now that I get approval, then it's pretty legal. My right of entry is legal, because it's always about the search for the right of entry. So avoid technical issues for slowing down. But now the plan is to go in there and pick up all the rubbish, cut and remove all of the weeds and bushes, and cut that kiawe tree that making them go in there because of the shade, which is actually a regrow. So it's not an ancient tree, it's a regrow because never have maintenance on the site. So we're gonna go in there and cut all the equa and everything that's growing. I'm gonna chip it all up so no more rubbish pile up anywhere, take it away. And I'm looking at bringing one of those trash dumpsters, you know, those trash can things. So we can throw all the opala. There's lots of opala. They seem to collect a lot of opala. Like wall-to-wall opala all the way around and get two sites over there that is plenty of opala inside. So we're going to cut all the bushes, make them clean and as clean as possible. And we're going to repair the broken stone walls all over. They walk all over the walls. I look at the barrel treatment plan and look like they got away with it because half of the wall is cemented from the past. Like when you make one barrel treatment plan, you approve them. You guys have language in there. It was cement. And the one that is cement is still perfect and solid anywhere they got cement. The ones that they look like construction or development after the fact, they put back the wall with dry stack. That the homeless walk on a lot, so they broken all over. But we will fix them all up. We will put them all back. But if it was cement, then we wouldn't have that problem. And then, yeah, that's basically it. Just really clean that up, any kind of pilau, anything, and give that place and our kupuna some love, and then move on. But I still continuing for look for the owners and try and create communication with them for the future of the cleaning and if they're going to be involved in making take care of whatever the language on the barrel treatment plan, try to hold them to that language. Thank you.
Jimmy, two more things, if you don't mind addressing. One, what agencies you've contacted to get help for this project, this Kuleana that's coming up? And B, about the hard time you're having contacting the landowner, please.
Okay. I went talk to the enforcement. Enforcement would really happily come and assist us and asking homeless to remove their stuff. So enforcement is ready to go anytime we call them. And I talked to the county because I noticed the county, they're helping clean up all the homeless sections where they trespass and make rubbish. So I asked them if they like bring their dump truck and throw away some rubbish. And they said yes. So I don't know how that going to fall, but so far that looks like the plan. And then what was the second thing you asked me?
About you, you mentioned you're having a hard time providing or connecting with the landowner, the same Pilikia.
We're getting closer. We're getting closer. We've researched for many months and really hard at it, like a lot of dummy corporations, a lot of addresses and phone numbers that go to blank places, to homes that is just abandoned, all different places all over the United States. So sometimes it's a little bit difficult to find the owners. So we went back to talk to the landowners in the area, the people who in the locals who can actually sell the land and stuff. So they're helping us find the owner. And I think we're going to end up finding the owner and being able to hold them to the language of the barrel treatment plan that they agreed to, which is good language in the barrel treatment plan. They just gotta come up with their own mechanism to live up to the language.
Okay, mahalo, Jimmy. Thank you for them.
So that's the best.
Thank you for those updates. Greatly appreciated. Council members, any questions, concerns for Jimmy at this time? Ke olulu mai. Clifford?
Mr. Medeiros, would you be interested if it was possible that the burial council could provide you additional labor in cleaning up these burial sites? Would that be of help to you?
Oh, anything is always helpful. But sure. But I think right now look like quite a bit of family like come together for take care of
What I was thinking is that maybe their brothers at Kulani or Hilo jail vacationing could come out and, you know, ho'aina and help you. Because they're just sitting around, what they're doing, you know? So, and I'm sure a lot of them would get out and do that and, you know, get out for a little while. Would you be open to having those brothers come to help you?
Yeah, I would be more open to having them on bigger projects. Because this one, yeah, because the Ohana like get involved and because I was searching for quite long now for the owner and people who might know and everything, I've run into quite a bit of different Ohanas of that area, and they all like volunteer for come help Malama. So I think I gotta let them come first. I'm excited actually for all these different Ohanas who like come. To come and be part of this Malama is very, very honorable.
Is my second question is more to Kalei. So, Ra, is there any way that these people coming to volunteer to clean up these burial sites after an agreement has been structured between the descendants and the landowner? Is there any way of compensating these volunteers with any type of either a tax deferred condition? Or some type of incentive for these people? Because what it's doing, it's saving the county and the state money, not having to dispatch their workers. These people are doing this. So as a volunteer, I mean, I get the thing is their tax deduction, whatever, but I don't know if they're in that income bracket where that's really an incentive. So is there something that the state can do to provide a reasonable incentive to encourage more people to come out to volunteer to help in these projects, more people knowing about where these burial sites are, more people to Malama? Is that a possibility, Nole? Can something like that happen? Thank you.
As you know, Brella, in the realm of possibilities, anything's possible. That's what I believe. I totally hear what you have to say. Of course, we already have some concerns about our lunches and gas, fuel, money, those things as well. But I would think that some kind of compensation would be in kind to have, no doubt about that. Of course, we all know as well as that is part of Kuleana also taking care of Evie, but that's something that can definitely be looked into in the realm of all possibilities. Yeah, so we can expand the scope of what the Kuleana can be or it should be. But mahalo for again that awesome suggestion. Mahalo nui, Clifford. Thank you. Anybody else? Any questions or comments for right now with regards to this agenda item right now? But from what I can hear, it seems like since Jimmy's descendancy claim has been confirmed today, he has a plan of action. He's had a plan of action for the last couple months already. That it seems like he's ready to move full speed ahead. And as he mentioned, they're related. It seems like everybody in Kona, Kohala, and Kau as well. They get plenty of family that will come and support that initiative as well. Yes, Nicole.
Oh, for Jimmy, cousin, I might be able to help you track down the landowner. I have to go back and look at all of my literature on this one because the county did give me something on this and. I did meet the landowner, was Haole people, and they were supposed to be taking care of that place. So when I saw it falling into disrepair, I knew probably when change over hands or in change hands. So maybe we can get the last landowner and then we can go from there. So I try help you on that one. Okay?
Okay. Mahalo.
Mahalo, mahalo. I don't know about everybody else, but when I hear this kind of stuff, folks, it's ono to me. Ono to hear this kind, man. It's one of the beauties of being on the Borough Council. Kalamai, it's solid. Mahalo to the Kona families. Mahalo nui for all you do. Thank you very much, always. Mahalo. Anything else, Borough Council members? And also, Jimmy, mahalo for trying to find the best Pono path to take. I know it's not always easy to do, but again, mahalo again for try to set an example also for our youth as well. Yeah, I know we're hoo-hoo, we're nuha, we're angry about what's going on, but again, we need to learn how to control that anger and channel it in a very pono direction, and this is definitely one of those ways of doing that. So again, mahalo nui for all you guys do. It's an honor to sit in your presence. Mahalo. Okay, folks, I'm going to suggest we go to item agenda G first, and then we'll take a little break before we get into agenda item H, if everybody's okay with that, okay? So here's our agenda item G. This is a draft burial treatment plan for SIHP number 50-10-46-21792 and number 50-10-46-21794, located in Kumukahi, Kula'aupua'a, Puna District, Island of Hawaii, TMK, open parentheses 3, close parentheses 1-4-002:092. Information and discussion. Information and discussion on the above draft BTP. From what I can see on the camera here, again, we are very honored and blessed to have two of our brothers from Puna with us, Keone Kalave and Keiki Kikipi. Again, both of them have been very involved in burial issues for numerous years. And Keiki has been a member of the Hawaiian and Burial Council for numerous years as well. So again, it's an honor and privilege to be sitting here or staring at a couple of our OGs from these burial program. And Loke Lani, are you here also on behalf of this
concern? Yeah, aloha, Uncle, I'm here.
Okay, mahalo. We get two screens full of people today. That's very unusual. Usually we're looking at half a page, half of one.
Yeah.
And then Kalena, are you gonna be, you're part of this discussion as well? Okay, Mike, you know. So Lokilani, turn it over to you, turn it over to Keone. Who first? You?
I'll start first, Uncle. First, mahalo nui and velina mai me ke aloha, ia kākou pākahi apau. Mahalo for this opportunity to come forward again, as I usually do before the Hawaii Island Burial Council, to give sort of a presentation update on the work that we're doing as far as the burials in Kumukahi. I did want to ask Anakala Nale if it was possible, because I'm going to be discussing sensitive, you know, the location of sensitive information of burial sites, and as requested by the lineal descendants, that we go, if it's possible for us to go into executive session.
Okay, Mike, you know, council members, can I have a motion for that, please? Because again, we'll be talking about sensitive burial sites. So again, we want to go to the executive session. So only us and the lineal descendants. And
I have a couple other folks that I would like to request to be on during this discussion.
Do you have their names, please?
Yes.
Kai, hold on just a minute. Kai?
Yes, sorry, real quick. I just want to clarify that the term is in executive session. Executive session is a prescribed statutory ability for you to go in to discuss HR matters or other, consult with your lawyer. This council has the ability to close a meeting on the fly to the public, but it's only for location and description issues. Any other parts of that conversation has to come back out into the public. So just be very careful that you can close a meeting, but it really should be solely for the location description. So I don't know what kind of preface information or discussion is going to lead into that, but the discussion itself shouldn't all be in closed session. I just want to clarify that.
Yes.
So thank you.
Mahalo nui. Yeah, I have other parts of the presentation that I can go through. And then when we get to the specific slides that show the location of the burials, that's when I would request if we can keep that closed.
Awesome. Thank you.
Mahalo. So Kai, that would Kale, that would mean that everybody would have to leave the Zoom meeting and then come back on, correct?
I'm going to create a breakout room for that. Room. So everybody would just kind of sit there, and then
breakout room.
I don't know who would designate Loke. Maybe Loke can designate who she wants involved in that discussion. And those are the names I can drag into the breakout room.
Hikino Loke. Can do.
Okay. So I do have a presentation, a PowerPoint. So I'm going to ask Kia if he can give me screen sharing capabilities.
Yeah, I think I turned it on. Try.
Okay. Okay. Is the PowerPoint visible?
Aye.
Okay. All right. So I'm here to provide an update on the Kumukahi burial treatment plan that has been ongoing since March. And a lot of the work that we've been putting into this to sort of get some, do our homework and, you know, cross our T's and dot our I's in this process. And so I'm here doing this presentation on behalf of the University of Hawaii for our Island Burial Council. The purpose of this particular PowerPoint is to provide a, you know, general description of the area, to present a brief timeline of the activities and actions that are associated with this burial treatment planning at Kumukahi, describe some of our outreach efforts, and describe the findings from a June 11th site inspection that we did earlier this year, and sort of describe some of our next steps in the process. So as you know, Kumukahi is, you know, the easternmost point on Hawaii Island. It is located in Kula'ahupua'a in the Moku of Puna. It is one of probably, you know, very culturally rich and significant place for a number of reasons. And one of them being that it is the eternal resting place for many of our iwi kupuna. And it is also considered a lena to aid ohana in transitioning into the afterlife. Now, access to this particular parcel, the 58-acre parcel, which is currently owned by the University of Hawaii, is through Highway 132 or the Kapoho Lighthouse Road. The University of Hawaii acquired this 58-acre parcel from the U.S. Department of Education in 1988. The parcel includes everything you see here in red, except for this little polygon right here. That's actually the Kumukahi Lighthouse parcel. Of course, these maps were using GIS data from the state, so there's a little bit discrepancies in accuracy. So things are a little bit off and they're not 100% accurate in terms of their exact boundaries. However, it just gives you a general idea of where we're at. 19 acres of the 58 acres were covered by the 1960 Kapoho lava flow, and that is pretty much sort of in the direction Makai from the lighthouse and north. That was all covered by the 1960 flow, and roughly 39 acres are within Kipuka, sort of the southern part of the parcel that was created, you know, Kipuka created by the 1960 flow. Of course, in 2018, we had the other lava flow that came down Makai towards Kapoho, but that's outside of the current study area. The University of Hawaii has no planned development. So there's no proposed action. There's no building of activity of any kind that's being proposed. And so the only activities that the University of Hawaii does do on the property is through its SOEST program and the University of California, San Diego. They do climate change research on a small little area adjacent to the lighthouse parcel, and that's the only activities that they do right now down there. So burial issues at Kumukahi, and I feel like I'm preaching to the choir here, has been ongoing for, you know, well over two decades. These burial issues have gone unresolved and under different administrations with the university as well. And so sort of what triggered you know, my involvement in this and trying to figure out 20 years worth of struggles and challenges started, you know, in November 2nd of 2020, on behalf of the recognized descendants, which is Keiki Aloha Kekipi and Kione Kalawe. OHA sent a letter to the University of Hawaii addressed to President David Lasner regarding the unresolved burial disturbances at Kumukahi. The letter, in that letter, it identified site 21792. It referenced an unsigned 2002 MOA, like a preservation plan that had been drafted, but not signed. That was between the University of Hawaii and the Department of Land and Natural Resources. The alleged 1999 desecration incident that involved tourists that had removed some iwi, but later turned it back over to the state, and in the disposition of the EV at that time. OHA requested in that letter for the University of Hawaii to take action to resolve the burial issues on their property. As soon as this matter was brought to the attention of David Lasmer, he initiated sort of internal consultation amongst his staff and other members of the university to figure out what was going on. And from their discussions, it led to the identification for the need of external expert consulting assistance in this matter. OHA also sent a follow-up letter early this year on January 21st to the university, asking them to take action on this matter. So February 10th of this year, after receiving those letters, the university put out sort of a competitive bid, which is part of their procurement process, to seek expert consulting services and to help address and resolve these burial matters. So that was in February 10th. ASM, we submitted a proposal to the University of Hawaii, and by March, we were awarded that contract to do this work. And so from March until now, I've been actively working on the different parts of the burial treatment planning process. And a lot of it has been sort of untangling, you know, my newness to this and understanding the 20 years plus of issues and key, you know, incidences and boundaries and sites and all of these things. So early on in this process, my very first phone call that I made following it was to Uncle Kione Kalave and Kiki, Uncle Kiki Kikipi, and we ended up meeting on June 1st. So that was my first step, was to reach out to the recognized descendants and to hear from them and to let them know that this was sort of in the works. Other people that I had done outreach with included SHPD, started to gather all of my documents that I needed that Shipti had on hand, Office of Hawaiian Affairs, HIBC Puna representative, Kalena Blakemore. I also was contacted by Vai Vela Vela, a private nonprofit organization, reached out to both UH and ASM regarding their more expansive interest in kumukahi that's distinct from ASM's direct engagement with the recognized lineal descendants regarding the burials. Vai Vela Vela also, we worked together because they were identifying other folks in the community, either as lineal or cultural descendants, to come forward and to seek, you know, go to the descendancy claims process. And so I partnered with them and we co-hosted a descendancy claim workshop and invited people from, it was open to anyone from the Puna community to come and see how they can register to become lineal and or cultural descendants. And so that we did that on August 1st together. We had 10 attendees show up to the workshop. And of course, also public notices already went out in Kabayola, which was published in the June 2021 edition, Star Advertiser and Tribune Herald in the following dates. And so far from that, I received three responses for people interested or believe they have family down there. But to date, no one from the workshop or from the public notices has gone through the descendancy claim process. And so in that 2002 MOA, it identified three sites in it. The MOA was is a preservation plan that was drafted up you know, at that time, but it identified three sites in the Kumukahi area. So one of it was site 21792, 21793, and 21794. And so what the university had asked us is to confirm which sites are on their property and which ones are outside of their property boundaries. On June 11th, ASM and Mr. Kalave, one of the recognized lineal descendants, conducted a site inspection out there to figure out where things were on the land and for us to collect GPS data just so that we would know where these sites are with respect to the different property boundaries that are down there. We also reached out, part of our scope of work under the BTP was to hire someone to do hire a professional land surveyor to survey UH's Mauka boundary. Through the background research, we also did identify, I was able to identify another burial site that was recorded back in 1974 as site 4251, which was not referenced in the 2002 MOA. So those sort of things were already triggering the fact that there are other burial sites out there that were not included in the, you know, as part of the 2002 MOA. So in, and also there was, you know, at least two desecration incidences, one in 1999 and one in 2020, that were associated with site 21792 and site 21793, which are burial features that are not on the UH property. So from our site inspection, sort of what we've concluded so far is that site 21793 and part of site 21792, as identified in the 2002 MOA, is actually on the Oda Ching parcel, not on the parcel currently owned by the University of Hawaii. Site 21794 and possibly part of 21792 is on the UH parcel. Okay, so basically, site 21792 is straddling. It's located right on the boundary and it's being split between two TMKs. So this is sort of the challenge that we're trying to work through at this time. While we were out there, Mr. Kalabe also identified additional undocumented burial features on the UH property. And so what we do know is that all of the burials are kind of contained within the 39-acre kipuka that was created by the 1960 lava flow. So at this point, I have maps that show the locations of the burial sites. And I was wondering if this is where we could close out the meeting for people to go into the breakout room. I'm going to let
you. Hikino, would you like to let Kia know which other members besides Lino descendants can stay on, please?
Okay, I'm requesting for the lineal descendants, Keiki Aloha, Kikipi, and Keone. I believe they're on one video under Keone Kalabe. The representatives from Oha, Kamakana Ferreira, and Kai Markel to be present. The members from HIBC, of course, a lot of you folks, should be members from the University of Hawaii. So President David Dasner, Mike Ikeda, Jesse Suki, and Blanche Fountain, and Greg Chun, and also Lono Lyman.
Okay, give me 1 second to create this row.
Sorry, Chair, to interrupt. Loki, I think you meant Michael Shibata.
Yes, sorry. Yes, thanks, Jesse.
Is that Michael Shibata instead of Michael Ikeda?
Should be Michael Shibata.
Okay, instead of Ikeda.
Yeah, sorry, my bad. Take a look at me.
Sorry, is this working? Are you guys getting like an invite to that second room? Hang Did you get that, Kalena? Sorry, I'm trying to go down the list one by one. Uncle Nole, did you get that invite?
I did, but I canceled it.
Oh, let me try and see how I do that again. Okay, Michael, okay, sorry, Uncle Nole, I'm not sure how to send you back in there. Hang on.
So who are you putting in the breakout room, the us or everybody else?
Us.
You're putting us in the breakout room.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, that makes more sense.
Oh, I just got yours, Kia.
Okay. Sorry, bro. I wasn't too sure. I thought we were going to stay on the screen. Everybody else.
Sorry. I know it's taking kind of long, but I need to go down this list one by one and look for everyone.
Makes sense. No worry.
Uncle, you don't see something. It's still showing that it's waiting for you to join.
Let me see. Hold on. No, I don't see anything. Let me check. Hold on. Okay. Yes. Let me go in. I think I got it.
Yes. Yeah. We have all HIBC members. Yeah. Yeah, this is everyone.
Okay.
I'm going to continue sharing my screen, so just give me a quick second.
Hold on just a minute, though. Hold on. Keiki and Keone, you okay with who's on? Who's here right now?
Ali.
Yes. Ali. Can you see everybody who's in this breakout room right now? You have any questions? Are you okay with everybody who's there?
Yes.
Everything's good.
Yeah.
Okay. Then we'll move forward then. Mahalo. Thank you, Lokalani. Mahalo, yeah. Kiyomi. Mahalo, Keiki.
Mahalo nui. Okay. I will continue. Shrink this up over here. Okay. Let's see. Okay. So here's sort of a site map that we're able to generate based on the data that we collected during our field inspection, which shows site 21794 clearly within the University of Hawaii parcel. Another burial site 4251, which was the one documented in 1974, in this vicinity here, that needs to be confirmed. Yeah, this was just based on data that we collected through our review of previous studies done on the property. Site 21792 is located here, right in this area. And site 21793 is located Mauka of the UH property. And I have close-up maps, so just hang on a sec. I'll scoot over a little here. Okay, so this site map here shows you on the left-hand side, we have site 21792 as it is identified in the 2002 MOA. So as you can see, that shows this site here, and then it comes down and it includes this cluster here. However, when we did the site inspection, we found these additional barrier features extending onto the UH property. Okay, so these are discussions that I would need to have with the lineal descendants about whether this will be one site or we assign it a separate site number. Those are some of the things that is sort of, we have to discuss and decide. This site is particularly difficult in terms of developing preservation measures. We want to treat the site as a whole, but we have it straddled across two properties. Yeah, so this makes it for a little bit more difficult. The next site is site 21794, also located within the University of Hawaii parcel. The 2002 MOA identified one burial crypt, which is here, and we also identified another burial crypt here. One of the, this site, when it plotted out, when we did our overlays, it shows it here, but we don't think it's this, this site might be this site here. We have to confirm that with our additional follow-up fieldwork, which is what's being scheduled. We also had land surveyors come out to mark that Mauka boundary, and their map shows the Mauka boundary running right through site 21792. I believe that's all. That's everything in terms of sensitive burial information that I will be disclosing in this PowerPoint. So if we want to jump back to open, I'm okay.
Okay, council members, everybody okay? Everybody good? Okay, then we'll go back into our regular session, please.
Mahalo.
Do we just click on leave room, or do we know how that works?
It should tell you to join the main room.
Okay.
Okay, mahalo nui loa, everybody, for your patience. We will reconvene the general session. Okay. Lukalani, you want to continue?
Right.
Thank you.
Okay, so when we did that initial site inspection and was able to get a better sense of where the burial features, are located, the issue with the boundary, that Mauka boundary running between site 21792, after we completed that, we actually went back to the ASM, went back to the University of Hawaii, and we recommended that they conduct a reconnaissance survey of the 39-acre Kipuka area to document all burial and non-burial sites. That way they have a comprehensive understanding of the resources that are on their property, and that we can plan accordingly to make sure we document all the burial features out there, not just some of them, and develop preservation measures for all of the burial features, not just some. Yeah, so the reconnaissance survey was not in our original scope of work as far as the BTP, which is why we had to go back and request for additional funding to be able to do a reconnaissance level survey. Now, the findings from the reconnaissance survey will be used to ensure that all burials on the University of Hawaii parcel are documented, and any preservation measures that are developed is done so in consultation with recognized lineal descendants. Yeah. So UH went ahead and they were able to expand our scope of work, and we got approval to do that this month to move forward with doing the reconnaissance survey. That way we can document the sites that were noted in the OHA letter, in the 2002 MOA, and any other burial features that to date have not been recorded in detail. And our field work is actually scheduled for next week. So we will be going out there, a crew from ASM, along with the Neo descendants to go out there to document the burial features. So our next steps here is to for us to complete the reconnaissance survey. We've also been requested to mark out the boundaries of the lighthouse parcel. We will be continuing consultation with recognized lineal descendants and adjacent landowners, discuss potential preservation measures with recognized lineal descendants. And hopefully, you know, the goal here is for, you know, have council support preservation in place of these burials and prepare a comprehensive burial treatment plan. And Oya Ihola, that's all I have to share today. That's my contact info up there, as well as representatives from the University of Hawaii that have also been active in assisting with this burial treatment planning process.
Mahalo Lokilani for that wonderful presentation as usual, very in-depth, very concise, and we always appreciate that. Mahalo nui. Before we move forward, any questions from the council? At this time, I'd like to hear from Kione and Keiki first, and then Glenn a second, after that, and then anybody else associated with this project, please. Kione and Keiki, koko ike ke ololo mai.
The burial treatment plan was already priorly approved back in back before this council, when the brought to the burial council, then was already approved the burial treatment plan with already the set buffers, and that was for all of the surface burials identified then. So now we're talking about another burial treatment plan. I kind of need clarification. Is how what happened to the burial treatment plan that was already pre-approved? It never could be implemented because of the lack of response by then the person in charge of the university at that time. I don't mention names, but if you like, I can mention names to be specific. I don't think that's true, right? But I remember everybody that was in, that actually came out to the site, and from what agency they came from. They came from, nobody really officially came from the university to represent them, but that had the land person that time came out, had said some. The land agent that time, Native Hawaiian Legal Corporation had one representative, and other people that we were supposed to talk with, and had the burial site specialist was helping. We prepared the plan and the MOA. The MOA wasn't signed, so out of respect and procedure protocol, trying to get a hold of the known person on record, the landowner, or supposedly recognized landowner for the parcels. The only thing that wasn't settled was the MOA. So I reiterate what my belief, and I think what is the law says, that the burial sites, the secret places of the burial sites and the burial sites belongs to the descendants. So when we talk about the site, already there was exposed. That's the part of the secrecy, so no longer a secret. But why are we trying to keep them huna? Because this parcel, everybody coming in, they're going to know, and we'll get continued disturbances. So even though I have police reports and all that of the disturbances, and I've even put gate, you're going to see physical things that we try to implement ourselves. Nobody really even respond until now, because now we get the incentive for the monies coming forward for the recovery monies. So now get the recovery monies. All of a sudden, everybody focusing on developing Kumukahi. But nobody, when they say about the burial treatment plan, And I wanted to also discuss is the preservation plan. And part of the reason we're here talking with all of these agencies, not only because of recovery, but when they open up the Highway 132, which is inclusive of the Lighthouse Road, then nobody will consult us. And once again, made vulnerable the consistent disturbances outside of, right? And I guess the best word is desecration and disrespect. So that's one thing I like to make clear. Well, how come they keep on saying the burial treatment plan? Unless it's inclusive of the preservation plan, which now moves us to the road up to where they were called Four Corners. So when they open up from the top and bring the road down to there, so could get back to Kahakai Boulevard. So I had one emergency access and could access to there. When they did that, they made vulnerable people like going out. And because of media, they see the place, beach, everybody promoting them. So that's what starts everybody want to go out there. And thanks to the cooperation and resourcefulness of the landowner, a large landowner, trying to slow down people from actually throwing all of this rubbish and going outside again, and most recently, most disturbance. Yet a lot of investment from that landowner, not only for the preservation, but the liabilities of people when getting hurt, yeah, and other things. So if you look, get some good side boulders, too bad, but never get thrown that, yeah, from right off the road. And how much times people keep on breaching, moving boulders, not pebbles. So what we should be talking about is the preservation plan. And if you get records, then I kind of wonder how come no more records of the burial treatment plan being already pre-approved, especially because those buffers was unanimously approved by the council, former council, because of the consistent disturbances. And all through these years, I kept on trying to come till I finally got exhausted and to the part of disgust, right? Because like you said, okay, part of it is as the council member, you talk with your community, they give you all of these food and stuff, where their families stay, so you can document them. Out there, I already get site preservation numbers, and they said never been reported before or documented any of these burial sites. So how going site preservation number if nobody can document what was there? And good, because we're going to look at documenting that, but let's have the documents that says, and somebody got to have access to that. And hopefully the burial sites program have that, because otherwise, where is all this document? And where is these plans when the guys get approved? What happens? All of a sudden, poof, no more no plans. And we're talking about hiring somebody for you to do a burial treatment plan that was already pre-approved with buffers and everything set. So now the real concern is preservation from the road, because get consistent activity. Yeah, that's really brings us to that. But that really kind of, I like to see if we can get that answered right now about how come we keep on seeing burial treatment plan. Unless we're talking about the preservation plan that should start way up at the highway when they open up. And that's why now we're going into the part of the 106 consultation process after the fact.
Malo Kegi, for that question. My personal knowledge.
Can I direct that to the DA?
You can. Go ahead.
To be valid.
Go ahead. Deputy Attorney General Lauren Chun, hopefully you heard what Keiki was just talking about.
I'm not sure what the question is.
The question is, there was already a pre-approved burial treatment plan back in 99, or whatever that day was, that came to the council. It came to the council, then the Hawaii Island Burial Council, and they voted unanimously that all of the burial sites that is already identified on the surface, that the burial treatment plan was with the buffers already put in place. Now I hear that they're on contract from the university for doing barrel treatment plant with ASM. I know they don't do mapping, but and so how come we get a new barrel treatment plant when we waited almost 2 decades for implementation just because the university never signed an MOA?
No, I do not know the answer to that question.
Okay. So can I ask maybe Kai? Who I ask? Direct me to who I ask, because that's where we're going to stop right here. Because when we talk about the 106 process, that's the consultation, and it's in the file, supposedly. When we stuck in my memory now, it's in me, right? So I kind of feel offended and somewhat amiss, because what happened? Then we go to a meeting, and all of these agencies already had just like invite us to a meeting, and we get bombarded that somebody already made some agreements and some kind of deals with other people and the land owners. And we, Ohana was actually talking to the landowners as we identified who they were. So we talked to the Oda Ching family. They only been in contact with
Randall.
And then in fact, we talked to, we in conversation and communication only with Mr. Lyman, who's the other large landowner, who also being affected. And, so about the barrel treatment plan and the records, what happens to them? How come now they got a new barrel treatment plan?
Mm-hmm. I do not know why what happened to the first one. So I would suggest you write a letter to SHPTE, and you know we'll look into it and see if we can answer it.
Excuse me, ma'am. We had an official barrel council meeting, and you write one letter. That's why you're sitting there. Somebody who is valid enough, qualified to answer the question, because we're talking about the 6E43-300 rules. And that's what we wanted, but I think we're making up any kind of rules. But you like, we can go back to law. Law is coming down. It says kings, chiefs, and land agents may change, but the secret places and the burial rights remain with the descendants, the inheritance of the descendants. You know, the inheritance was having to put up with all of this trauma and agony for over decades. And to come and get no answers when everybody else talking, we get invited to a conversation, somebody have a plan going, and only through this process of 106 that they come hold accountable. So should I talk to FEMA? Is that where I should go for my answers? Talk to FEMA so they can set a consultation, even with the DA, tell me write one letter to the state? Who we represent them? May I ask, what place you sitting there for? What, just observe? Direct me to the Postal Service? That's why I had this meeting. It's supposed to have some kind of resolution and closure and clarity. I cannot ask that. No, they just came in now, the representatives of the landowner. I mean, somebody should have direct them, follow through. See, but the 106 process is already violated. That's what Brussels is right here now. And if that's where you direct me to, I definitely will call the FEMA guy and find out. Right? So I think you and me to do that. If that's where I have to go, because we're going to stop all the monies. We're going to stop all these projects, because it cannot go without the consultation process. And we, as you're supposed to consult with. So when I ask you the question, you tell me send the letter to who? Excuse me, ma'am, to who?
No, I said to SHPTE, we can, you know, look into this allegation, but right now this is a discussion about whether to approve the burial treatment plan or not.
You need to approve the pre-approved treatment plan.
But what's on the agenda right now is this burial treatment plan that the applicant has put forward. So that's what the discussion of the burial council is on right now.
And that's why I'm asking you for clarity, because I did this from the beginning. And that's why I stepped, when I finished my term at the council, I stepped off because you're in the council all the way till now, not even the DA following the rules like me, trying to be appropriate, culturally not telling anybody, trying to keep them on the hat, and now the thing all blown out, and nobody can come up with the answer of a pre-approved treatment plan. Look in your guys' files. Look in your file. I'm going to ask you to search your file and see of the barrel treatment plan, pre-approved barrel treatment plan, and what we're talking about on barrel treatment plan for the surface barrels already pre-identified. And you can direct the answer to the council, because I'm pretty sure they like, no, that when they make one decision, if that decision is going to stay, does it hold water, air, or why even do that? Because then that way, in my community, a lot of families that told me where this thing stay, where their honor, where their concerns, when going to get before the construction or doing the construction, why they going to come to me now? Because for 20 years, plus, or getting on 2 decades, me, even as the chair of the barrel council in a position, I cannot get answers. Even to today, yeah, the process was followed, procedure protocol, you know, that patient, tolerating all of this. That's not part of the inheritance. Everybody looking at the gold and the green, but you got to take away all our trauma, 24/7 times. Sometimes that the last desecration happened most recently. See, the word now I'm going to use too is desecration. Not just disturbing, it's disturbing for us, but it's desecration by its definition. And so is that on the barrel treatment plan. That was already pre-approved by all of the council members, and look who they were. Look who the council members, take note. Look who those council members were. Representing each moku on this island and what they unanimously went approve and why. How much times is to keep on coming to the council? How many times? Almost every time something happened. I can't even go to the state, the county, threatening with arrest, calling all kinds, coming giving me all this other trauma, and gonna get gotta face our community because supposedly we're stopping development. Yet back then, they never take care of, and the thing started off but not signing the MOA. But that's not the case. The case is, the law says that that's not their barrels. So how come they can go contract somebody who do a barrel treatment plan without consulting the descendants and recognizing already had a barrel treatment plan that the council then will talk to the descendants or the recognized known lineal descendants? You're just like me, see? When the people ask me, so now what gonna happen to all the stuff and all Ohana that we told you, if you can do yours, what gonna happen to that? I say, when I get my opportunity, guys, I like know the answer. I'm gonna ask whoever represents the state in a legal capacity. Hopefully, they're knowledgeable or not, right? And they should be, because when anybody, even voluntary this part, these councils, all different councils, you better read them good and understand that. If not, then question who? You. When Hokulea was going on, I was there. And we, the council, tried really hard to the part of mitigating with the families and the landowners as they change. They had different landowners change. Now they're on different landowner. But still yet, the rule and barrel treatment plans that was passed then when applied to that landowner, multi-million dollars. Houses, $10 million on one acre. See? So if applied to them with all the money and influence, how come no apply now when it's the university recognized landowner? How come now you can change on barrel treatment plan? Why, get an expiration date? Who decides that? After your council, this present council, what, we change again? That's why we're not moving. Because we know all our answers. And for 2 decades, we couldn't get the answers. Only until the incentive of money. That's the motivator. Because now get the recovery monies coming to Puna, the most destitute place in the whole state. Now time for revitalize. What? Okay. Why? See what happened when you get arrogant? And you know, like sign, now we're coming up to the part of, this is what I told our guys when we met that day. Litigations will slow this down. Okay? And that's why we have to go there. I'm going to ask FEMA. We wasn't consulted prior to this thing. And I like FEMA. Tell me, what is the laws and why does council who volunteer the whole Thursday, not 8 to 3 or anything, the whole Thursday? The council, why? And what about all the programmatic things from the workers, right? Look, I go over there, they feel threatened because like the present parasite specialist, uncle, I was only this old when that didn't start. I don't know what that's okay, sorry about that, right? Mahalo. Not you, no. But go back in the record and find out. So even the part where they have to move, now I understand, see? But they had to move the Eevee into Kuna. Why? Because the state themselves wasn't taking care of office and the building that was for store of records and whatever, where you was coming through the roof. Only too recently, maybe 1 or 2 years ago, they supplied with a container for what? Stuff everything in there? Now I understand why Kupuna stay moving all around the place. And we had to request to locate where they were. So if you know more answers, I got to then talk to FEMA and say, hey, you know what? This consultation process is not complete. No more recognitions of the Barrel Council and the guys making their ruling, which I think stay inside a law, right? Not in the legislation. This ain't happen after Ahunapahua. I thought of desecration in Maui. I said, gotta happen. I said, like one traffic light, no come in and take it fatalities. Enough fatalities, then they say, hey, dangerous, somebody dying over here. See? Yeah, I try to remain calm and civil when I talk. Excuse me if I seem. But see, that's the thing. So why I step up that council? Hila, hila. I'm ashamed. I try to do everything I can do and follow all what I think is the procedures and protocols, HRS, rules and everything. And somebody who's supposed to be the legal term and answers sitting there and tell me she was sent there just to take up the picture on the screen. So that tells me I gotta go talk to FEMA. Mahalo.
Thank you, Keiki. Mahalo.
I gotta talk to OHA too because that's my confusion. Look at the record. Somebody got to get us all of these records, Nelly. Excuse me, but somebody got to get, what you mean? All that we did, Nelly. Right? See? Hokolia, Hokokanu, call them whatever you like. Right? Families fighting over there. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, all kind of people, because what? All it is Heva. Heva and Eno. Not just Kaumaha. Heva and Eno. It's Hana Eno. Eh? Without making any kind, talking what they guys like do over there, and then we find out, oh, what? Now, I look, oh, look, formally, finally I read it. What? How come they don't bury chimney plant? Come on. How come? Really? I don't ask you, I gotta ask somebody, but does somebody supposed to ask that supposed to direct the council? That's a simple question. Kai came, but I know I put Kai on the spot, but he's going to be most, at least give me some kind of direction, I hope. Hi.
I can
put you on the spot, but you see, I asked him.
No, that's okay. Chair, can I?
Please. Okay. And then after you, Kai, we have Lopilani and La that I want to chime in, and then I see Mililani Trask as well. So Kai, please go first.
Okay. You know, this is a 20-year festering kakio. And nothing good comes out of taking Kupuna out of their grave, which is what happened in this case, which started this long process of trying to heal them and heal the Ohana. This sadly is a perfect example and case of the next agenda item H,
why the ledge, the Senate and the House, put forward resolutions to look into the systemic failures of the administration of the borough councils and SHPD. This is a direct product of no follow-up, of staff changes, of borough council members not being properly trained, not having legal counsel and advice. And what do we end up with? We end up with finding out that, oh my God, we had kupuna. We thought we're put back to rest after being taken out like treasure trove from tourists. And they've been sitting in boxes all these years, shifted around. And that's the heva and the eno that's got to be fixed first, in my humble opinion, before we move on to the bigger, grander scheme of things. Get those kupuna taken care of and back in the ground. Uh-huh. And that borough treatment plan went through. And a lot of tears, a lot of eha, a lot of kamaha went into that. And what we're seeing now is we're piercing it and opening up that kakio. That's why all is hihia. When everybody's trying to come together and say, how do we malama this place? How do we honor the kupuna? How do we honor the ohana? So I understand Kiki's eha. I have direct kuleana. I dropped the ball many times. And this is another ball dropped back then. And then, surprise, surprise, 98, you know what? The borough councils all came together in 98. I think, Nale, you were there. Mm-hmm. OHA brought them all together, all the members. You look at the minutes from that meeting in 98, it's the same list of concerns in January 2021. Same concerns. That's why the ledge said, let's get to the bottom of this. And Kiki, this is a perfect example. So I think my position is we gotta look at that BTP and we gotta take care of those kupuna. Doesn't matter what happened back then, who didn't do what, and which people left and changed. UH had people come and go, AGs come and go, borough council members, SHPD staff. And we end up, we're back to Honokohua. 30 years. And we still cannot take care of our kupuna. So that's my advice, is let's focus on getting those kupuna back where they need to go. Look at that BTP. And let's take care of that before we move forward with the bigger, grander scheme of things. Because you can see the pain.
Hey.
The family, right? You can see the eha. And nothing good will come out of it. That's all. Thank you.
Mahalo. Okay. We're going to turn the time over to Lokelani and then to La, please.
Kalamai, I want to actually speak.
Sorry, Keone. Yeah. Kalamai, Loke, Keone first. Kalamai, Keone. Oipu.
Right. You know, when we talk about Iwi Kupuna, we're talking about people. So I want to show you guys, all you guys, if you guys can see this photo right here. Right here. You guys can see this photo right here? Everybody can see this photo? This is my kupuna. It was taken in the 1800s in Kauai, Halepoa, in Puna. I'm a descendant from these people in the photo. I was first taken to the burial sites, okay? When we're talking about burial sites, the cemeteries. Okay, when I was 7 years old, it was my grandfather, my father, and my uncle. And from that time on, I was down there to go and check on the burial sites, okay? The only time we couldn't go down there when had the 2018 eruption. After that, I continued. You know, I was 7 years old. Now I'm going to be 62 years old, you know. And what people got to realize, the descendants, we make the last say on the burials because we are the extension of the Iwi Kupuna that's in the ground and nobody else. And from day one, I always said, you know what? We need to malama Iwi Kupuna, nothing else, okay? So people got to realize those cemeteries is connected to the Iwi Kupuna which are connected to the lineal descendants. And that's all I have to say.
Mahalo, Keone, always. I sure hope again, Keiki and Keone, that you will be able to stay on for the next agenda item, because everything that you mentioned in the last few moments is pertinent to that agenda item. And again, it needs to be heard once again. And again, so we can utilize that for that OHAL working group to hopefully start changing the law and make it more proactive to our Ivi and our lineal and cultural descendants. So if you could please do that, that'd be greatly appreciated. Mahalo. And again, as always, mahalo for your Ike. It's greatly appreciated. Loke Lani, please.
Yeah, I just want to add, I know there was this 2002 MOA that was drafted, and I want Shipti to weigh in on this as well, whether that BTP or that preservation plan was ever formally accepted by Shipti.
So my understanding of what happened was in 2002, the MOA and preservation plan in that form came to the council. I think it was drafted by SHPD staff in consultation with the descendants. It came to the council. The council voted to approve that plan. The MOA was then sent to UH. And there were some concerns in another burial council meeting. There were concerns over some of the stipulations in the preservation plan, and so at the time UH didn't agree to the plan, and so the plan was never signed by the signatory parties. And I don't know how much of a difference it makes, but because it was written in the form of an MOA, you know, that would have required the signatory parties to all agree upon that plan in order for it to be effected. And in 2004, I know there was a follow-up. DLNR followed up with, I think they, with the Oda property, actually, to address those burials. And those, you know, those were never addressed. But to make a long story short, no, that plan I think was never effectuated because it wasn't signed on. But I think I think the important thing right now to focus on is moving forward, and that a BTP in the form that it's in now is coming forward to the council, and it's not being written in this other form where we need signatory parties and all of that. And yeah.
Thank you, Kara. Yeah, and that's what I've committed to. It's a really complicated area to work in, because we have different landowners, we have sites straddling across, you know, different property boundaries, and trying to bring everybody together, different landowners, to have a discussion about how we can collectively preserve the entire area and this, you know, the respective sites individually as well, developing proper treatment measures for them is something that, you know, I want to see through, and I am totally committed to this process and helping us to move forward. And I heard, because in our kupuna, I took this project on because I have been there, and I've known the Kukioni for a very long time, and I want us to be able to hold more and to find a path forward, because this is the only way we're going to be able to, we got to know what's out there, to identify everything, to make sure we can properly protect everything. And that's my goal. And I know there's a lot of gripe about this 2002 MOA, but it's missing a lot of pertinent and critical information if we want long-term protection for these sites. And that's what I'm committing this ETP to, you know, and continuing to work with the lineal descendants and finding other descendants as well. It's just as important to me. And this is not easy at all. I want to make it known. There's a lot of homework to be done. There's a lot of misinformation that has gone around sometimes that sets us back. And I want us to be able to find a path forward, and we will. We will. You know, I'm committed to protecting those Ibikupuna. You know, right now, the way the law reads and the way things stand, you know, we have to deal with it by property owner. And it's unfortunate that sites get, you know, these artificial boundaries get put in, and we have to figure out, we have to navigate that process, you know. You know, and the next steps for us is to do a thorough survey of what's on the university parcel. Unfortunately, I cannot just go on to and they develop preservation measures for somebody else's property, you know. So it's going to take a collective effort for us to preserve all the sites down there. It's going to take that willingness of landowners, some of them who are not here today, to come to the table and find a solution, the best way to protect these EV and all the other sites down there, and managing public access. That's a huge problem. And I've totally deviated away from my whole entire PowerPoint and what I wanted to say, but I feel like I need to say this. You know, that's all I have to say.
Mahalo loke lani, mahalo nui, la.
Mahalo loke.
La.
Mahalo loke. I actually, Loke and Kea answered everything that I was, you know, wanting to know more about. I think hearing all of this as someone who's so much younger and has faced so much less, you know, so much less obstacles so far, it's just a good reminder, because the positive side is that Loke is the right person to be drafting this BTP. She's got the most amazing ano, and her intention is pono. So she'll make sure that if there are kupuna who have not been acknowledged within that space, sites that have not been identified, she'll make sure that they are. And so this BTP, although it isn't the original, and there is a lot of not just komaha, but iha associated with the fact that that one was not completed and implemented properly, this BTP will be better. And that, you know, that's a positive that we can take from this. Obviously, speaking from someone who's much less experienced than you on the Kalakione and on the Kalakeiki, mahalo so much for sharing. I just, Loke and Kea answered my question, but I did want to say that that is the positive side that we can take to move forward in this. And I'm really grateful for this really fulfilling discussion on this specific BTP. And I'm looking forward to Loke coming back for our determination.
Mahalo, mahalo la. Keone, did you have something else you wanted to add?
I want actually the board to take a vote, the council to take one vote, to actually honor the 2002, the Berry Treatment Plan, and use that as a foundation as we go forward.
I have a question for you though, Keone. Since the MOA was never signed, in my mind, everything's null and void. Yeah, because that MOA was part of that BTP or that preservation plan. I'm seeing it as an opportunity right now to make the preservation plan even better based upon what I've heard and what I've seen so far. Because I was on that council. I was part of that determination. Yeah, I know that.
Yeah.
My fourth tour of duty on this council. So I'm aware of what took place at that time. But again, we didn't have all the information at that time that we're getting now. We're realizing that a lot of these sites aren't even on the UH property, which is a bummer. Yeah. So now that, to me, there's more dots that we can connect, I'd rather be looking at a BTP that further enhances the protection of those EV, and not even have to deal with an MOA, because that was ineffective. Okay. So as far as I'm concerned, as the chair of this council, that's just me talking right now, and I could be really overextending myself. And I, at this point, you know, I really don't care. It's null and void, man. Yeah. But it gives us an opportunity to make a better goal of this, a better shot at this, based on the information we're receiving now. Yeah.
Okay.
That's where I'm at with that. That's just one council member out of eight that is speaking at this point in time. Just one of eight. But that's where I stand on that, Hawaiian, just so you know.
Okay, so Malo. Malo yun Malao.
Clifford?
I just want to speak to this. The MOA, I don't know if that an acronym means a memorandum of agreement, but I know a memorandum is simply an outline. If it's not signed, there's no deal. But we were led to believe there was a deal. We were led to believe that SHPTE follows the counsel of us in making their decision. We were led to believe that. But I do know this. HRS provides a definition for fraud. If the value exceeds $750, it's criminal. We've been deceived. The word I want everybody to think about is this. Criminal fraud. Who is the perpetrator and who is the victim? That's got to be answered. Wanting to better the burial council treatment plan, I totally agree. But historically, there's been crimes that have been committed. In my short term here, I argue that there would be an audit provision to ensure compliance for everything that's been argued here at this council. Where's that at? Nowhere. So it's bullshit on bullshit. Well, the real bullshit now is somebody has got to go to jail. Or they're going to what? Ignore the law? So all these people that have been damaged, Radha's, Lukilani, doing her best, and they're pimping the Kanaka in this whole action. This is why we need Kanaka who are ma'a to the olelo, which is the law, and what that really means. So they can keep their bullshit and not give it to us as if it's truth. Because it's not. By evidence that they've been lying for decades. So we've got a condition here where we can bring a class action against SHPTE and everybody else up the line. Or we can settle this bullshit once and for all. And they need to get their shit together and stop lying to us. Because we're led to believe something that's obviously it's not true. Now, I hear Amelia Lani's in the audience, and if she is, Amelia, we really appreciate an opinion from you on what I, in my layman brotherhood from the Bush's term, have described what I see is going on here. We need counsel, and we deserve counsel, because our rights have been violated by the definition of the U.S. Constitution. Thank you.
Thank you, Mala Clifford. Kioni and Kioni, if we look at this new process, it will hopefully give us a better protection, maybe give us a chance to shut off things that we're not able to, but never instructed what to do. No, that sounds fair. That's confusing. The best I can say with it. Sorry for the echoing. I would be concerned with this process that's unfolding now if former archaeologists were before us trying to initiate this process, because for me, most of them are wolves in sheep's clothing. And I'm very concerned about them. However, as far as Lokelani goes, the last few years being able to work with her have been phenomenal. And seeing her intent to Malama, the Ivi, and of course the Lino culture descendants is very recommendable. So knowing that she is part of this process, that was my first concern, which archaeological firm, or more importantly, which archaeologist is going to be working on this. And when I saw her name, it helped to alleviate certain concerns and fears. I will say that. But I am hoping that this new process will afford the opportunity to make this even more pa'a. And be a model that can be used for other area, other islands or situations that occur in the future. And apparently it didn't work because something went wrong. Something it didn't happen because the MOA didn't get signed and everything else didn't fall into place because we're missing some components here. Yeah, some kupuna were crying out, hey, you forgot us. What about us? Yeah. And I guess they've been hurt, and therefore this process is be moving forward in a hopefully more positive direction at this point in time. Kalena, as borough council member for representing Puna, you have anything you'd like to add at this point in time before I call on Lokilani, please?
Sure.
Sorry.
I think there's so much that already transpired in the last half an hour that has gone unmentioned, and that is the pain and trauma that the lineal descendants are going through. And I think they need to know, even though it seems like we're ineffective, we're not making a difference, that we totally care and love them and all of our Ibi Kapuna throughout our Aina. They went out with Keone and Keiki a couple of weeks ago to the site, and I want to thank them for taking time to show me. So frustrating that the MOA was ineffective and wasn't properly taken care of and signed. I know that, and it causes a lot of anger, but I think we have to move forward and we have to make it right. I think there are so many moving parts on that property down there with three different landowners that we have to come together with all the landowners and probably create some kind of an easement. It's not impossible. I'm sorry, my husband's cutting firewood outside. I hope it doesn't disturb us. I'll go into a different room. Yeah, I think there's a lot of moving parts, and I think they can be resolved. I think there's a lot of us that can brainstorm and think outside the box and make a difference. I know that. That's why we're all here. So I just want to try to impart some positivity and some positive energy back into the situation to honor Loke, who's doing excellent work. If we're going to have somebody do a recon survey out there and to collect all of the parts, all of the features, this huge burial complex, it needs to be done, even if it's outside of UH's Aina and it goes into Oda and it goes into Lono Lyman's property. It's a cultural landscape. We can't identify everything by their little bits and parts, and then we're only going to fence off that one part that's on UH property. No, we have to have an agreement, an easement with all the property owners so that collectively we can protect the Aina. So there are other things down there that we noticed when we went on that site visit. There's a lot of garbage and filth. There's graffiti all over the pohaku, the giant pohaku. There are people breaking into the property and moving boulders with their truck and then driving. I saw an ATV and a truck out there the day. And then once they saw us, they took off running, and I went in my state truck. Nobody came that day to the beach because they saw my truck there. There were people racing. There were young people racing their cars, and they had lookouts right there at the end of the road. So there's a whole low vibrational element that is all incorporated into this area. And just for that reason, we need to start moving forward. I know it makes Keone upset, and he wants us to go with that original MOA. I'm really sorry. I have to agree with Nale and Law, and I'm not sure what the other members are feeling, but I think it's going to be better. We made a lot of mistakes 20 years ago, and now we have time to correct our mistakes and make it way better. So that's my thoughts. Thank you.
Ngalo, Kalena. Any other borough council members at this time? Okay, Mililani, did you have anything you wanted to share with us?
Aloha, Burial Council. Can you hear me?
Hi.
Aloha, Burial Council members and Vaivela Vela board members. I'm here because I am a member of the Kupuna Advisory Board of Vaivela Vela, and also online is lineal descendant and chair of the board, Lihau Rosio. I have been working with this community group for the last maybe 7 months. We put together a nonprofit, Vaivela Vela. I think we sent you our PowerPoint. One of the first things I did was I went to do the legal research with regards to the first, what I was told was the first memorandum of agreement. I have a copy and I'll send it over to your legal counsel. I think you'll probably find it in your old records. It's about a page and a half. What it was a page and a half framework or outline for a real memorandum of agreement. At that time, there was general discussion. It was widely known that it was a sacred area. It was filled with traditional burials. Abutting it were four other cemeteries, Japanese, Korean, etc. What was not known at the time was the boundaries of the U of H parcel and the abutting landowners. But that framework MOA, which never became legal because the U of H never signed it, and it is a requirement that the landowner sign, well, U of H ignored it, just as they've been doing to date. But one of the problems, and there were several, why that framework MOU couldn't proceed. Example, at the time it was known that there were traditional burials 30 feet from the university boundary. The MOU draft called for a buffer zone of 500 feet. So there's no way the University of Hawaii can go into the abutting landowner's property and put up a boundary of 480 feet. Those were some of the real problems that came up. U of H didn't sign off. And for 33 years, they have ignored this and ignored the requirements in their own deed, which require that they conform to the National Historic Preservation Act, as well as the Environmental Protection Act. But the university had valid concerns. You can't just go in there, trespass into somebody's land and start putting up a rock wall. And that's the situation with other abutting properties there. So there wasn't any MOU that was ever passed for that reason. It was a draft proposal. I reviewed it legally. Where we are now is we're taking a look at how we can begin to work in this area. Preliminary data indicates that the vast majority of traditional burials and some contemporary are in the University of Hawaii parcel. Consequently, Vaivelavela as a nonprofit with lineal descendants and other practitioners, myself included, as a practitioner for 40 years, this is why we're looking at an MOA, because we must have lineals involved, but we also need the DLNR. I'm thankful to the comments about what's happening there every other night. As Kalena has pointed out, the dirt bikers are going down, moving the stones for a ride. You know, you folks, there's significant liability for all of us. DLNR, Vaivelavela, and the university. And it is due to the fact that there's been significant destabilization. Look at the map of Kumukahi, north and south of the U of H parcel are areas subject to the 1960 lava flow. 1960. Now, just 2 months ago, we had two Hawaiian brothers out there motorcycle riding. The vibration of the bikes and their weight caused an earthquake landslide. One brother was killed. The other brother was permanently injured. I went to the University of Hawaii for the expert opinion, and I have it in writing. And what it says is that these areas are extremely dangerous and they're susceptible to landslide. That is why we have to work with DLNR. We have to ensure that the trails are preserved for the traditional use, for walking, for fishing, not for dirt biking. And we don't need the liability. Those two boys that were injured, both Hawaiian, one brother killed, the other brother brain damage. Now, these are some of the immediate protections we need for liability for all of us, as well as iwi kupuna that may be interred along the trails. But we need to pay attention to these things. When I look at where we're going, we have already, as Vaivelavela, sent a very sharp letter to the University of Hawaii. We're having a discussion very soon, myself, Lihau, going to be on the phone with Bob Matsuda and also Greg Chun, who has now come forward saying he's been designated by the U of H to begin the discussion. Great, let's do it. I think that we have the opportunity here to work with all three, but neither the university or Vi Vella Vella can protect those sites from the bikers who are coming in. We don't want to see any more Hawaiian boys killed. In terms of the 106, I have registered as a Kupuna advisor and legal advisor to Vi Vella Vella. I've been on the phone with FEMA. FEMA is saying when they get down to our neck of the woods, they'll have a 106 consultation. 106 is federal, folks, federal. It's not anything the county or the state burial council is in charge of. We'll all participate at the appropriate time. But 106 is no excuse to continue to ignore what is happening at this sacred place. We've got a big problem down there because it's called an attractive nuisance. Commercial tours are going, car rental agencies. And that's why, as Kalena says, area littered with human feces, toilet paper, COVID masks. I called the Department of Health 3 months ago. They said, let us know when you want us to come down. We just might have to declare it a public health and safety problem. We don't need to create problems for ourselves. We need to work together. We need to work together. I want to mention that initially I was very kanalua when I heard about ASM. I heard what was going on Maui. But the bottom line is that we work to protect our sacred places and Ivi. I've been very happy working with ASM. I've been very thankful for Loke's work. We need the survey. You folks know that. We can't go back to an old MOU. It was never in place, and frankly, it doesn't exist. We don't have two lineal descendants. We have over 100 there, and with Loke's help, we're beginning the process to help them register. Even our own board members are doing it. We need to outreach to our community. We need to facilitate it and come up with a way that we can work together. DLNR's jurisdiction, we cannot change. Historic site under DLNR, trails access DLNR, burial site is under your oversight, not U of H. But here you're all working together. I want to, I want to see it continue. I've told Loki that I'm so thankful that we're finally going to have a real burial treatment plan. We need the survey. We need to see where it is in conjunction to the boundaries. Yes, we know we're going to go over the boundaries, but let's begin where we can with the University of Hawaii. Let's work with them. When it comes to right to pray, you don't get permission from the state for that unless it's an issue of public health and safety. We can register that. We can help with that. We can help with education. Just as we are going right now to the University of Hawaii, you need an expert opinion on that safety of the trail. I went right up, called the U of H Hilo folks. I've worked with them for years. We didn't have any problem. The ethnobotany people at the University of Hawaii in Hilo have said, Mililani, when you folks are ready, we'll come down. They looked at the photo I sent them from 2009 when Keone went down there. They looked at the photo that was posted saying interesting plant. Ethnobotany looked at it and said, it's the gray wauke. It's very rare. We need to find it. We need to save it. That expertise, Center for Active Volcano, Ethnobotany, all these people are at the U of H in Hilo. Time to stop ignoring the desecration and put together an agreement so we can work with U of H, Burial Council, and SHPTI. And that's what we're doing. We know we have burials that will go beyond the boundary. We know that. We know about the four cemeteries. But let's begin where we can. working with the U of H, when that preservation plan is done, then we will look to see to expand it to other areas. I've even got a tax attorney working on it with me so that private property owners who have EVs, we can work out something. If they transfer it to a nonprofit, you see, they get the tax write-off for that. They lose some land. We would gain the ability to protect the EV, but that landowner, when we do the new survey, gets a lower rate of taxes. That's what Vivella Vella is working on. In closing, I just want to tell you folks that in our last discussion, which was a group Zoom under the county, I did give notice that I, as a Hawaiian practitioner for 40 years at Kumukahi, I have retained counsel, Mr. Na'ivi Wardman. If we cannot address this and work together with the MOA, DLNR included, university, Vivella Vella, and we're not saying we're the only lineals, we're just a nonprofit. We hope that others will come to help, but we don't get a positive response and a thumbs up for working collectively with the MOA. I will proceed in the federal district court. I've retained counsel and my attorney will shortly be sending a letter. I will CC the burial council on it. You know, we can't allow this thing to break down into bickering and fighting. Our first obligation is to malama the kupuna and keep the sacred aurora of Kumukahi open to those who would worship there. It's a great legacy, but with it comes the burden of responsibility. We can do this, you folks, we can do it, but we need to begin anew to be inclusive and to place the priority of the EV first and the lineal descendants. With Loki Online, we have the basic component, the critical component, burial treatment plan. Now we need to move for preservation plan with everybody involved, Vivella Vella and DLNR. I can't control the trails, but we need to take them offline because they're unstable and we don't need the liability. We have to look at the health problem and other things. But the bickering among ourselves is weakening us. I went to the legislature. I told them this project is critical to me. We only have money commitment from university for burial treatment plan. Bullshit. We know it's the component for the preservation plan. I cannot get commitment from university. We may not have money. Excuses, excuses. I went to talk with Jared Kioho Kalole. He cracks up. He tells me, Mililani, the university has the largest budget statewide every year. He said, don't waste your time thinking you're going to come in looking for money for a preservation plan. He said, I'm sending you a little article, came out yesterday. U of H just got $100 million from their U of H foundation, not even the university legislative budget. Come on, with $100 million, we can take care of Kumukahi and many of the burial areas if they are on the University of Hawaii land. I'm looking forward to the discussion we have coming up with Bob Matsuda and Greg, because we need to start looking at things, not just protecting the EV, but we got to start looking at limiting our liability up there and cutting back on the commercial uses. They're causing some serious problems for us. And, you know, our nonprofit, we're writing some grants, but we can't take on people that get killed because they're motorcycle riding. You know, we need that area to be declared off limits to vehicular traffic now. We're going to need time for the burial plan. And I just wanted to thank Loki for everything she's done, because I was very kanalua when she came in 6 months ago. But this woman has done nothing but work for us. And I am so thankful. You know, I had, when she was being criticized, what was happening on Maui Sand Dunes, you guys know. I brought her on First Friday's show, not Loki, but Claire Apana. and we set the whole thing on fire. So when I saw ASM, I was very Kanalua. I take everything back. I'm thankful to work with Loki. She's professional and hardworking, and I hope that we can get the University of Hawaii to move forward honestly, post the RFP for the preservation plan. I can't see anybody else getting it, but the contractor who's already doing the critical component, which is the burial treatment plan. Let's work together and let's be thankful that we have a local company with somebody like Loke. Once we put together a preservation plan for Kumukahi, we can look to expand it for the Japanese and the Chinese and others that we have. And we know we have many other lineal descendants on the other side of the boundary. But we can begin by working in one place, and that is with the university. You know, I am hoping that we don't have to go into the federal district court. But I'm telling you guys right now, as I told the county on the last Zoom, if we don't get a positive response, we will be in the federal district court, I would say within the next 6 to 8 weeks. Naivi is saying that we should wait until we see the university budget. But after learning what I did, Senator Kioho Kalole, we don't need to wait for a budget. Go check the internet, you guys. They just got 100 million from their foundation in violation of federal law for 33 years, not to mention the state burial laws. I'm not going to take our family to go to worship anymore. The children going, what is this, auntie? And it's human feces, toilet paper. That's not how you take care of Wahipana. So let's really take a look at where we are. There isn't any historic MOU. You can talk to the feds, but we're nowhere near the 106. We're there. We're doing the 106 now up at the higher road miles away. We have a lot of options. Our big problem is the failure of the university to come to the table. But maybe with our call coming up with Uncle Bob Masuda and Greg Chun, maybe we can make progress. Because I know Greg got the background from doing the EV reinterment with KS in Kona. I know his work. So I think that we have a chance to go forward and not to be given up and fighting. And also, thank you, Loki. Looking forward to working with you folks in the future. Aloha.
Mahalo, Mililani. Thank you very much for your ike again shared with all of us. Thank you very much. In fairness, I would like to also give any others associated with this ongoing project. First, I'd like to ask Anakala Lono Lyman if he has anything he'd like to add to the discussion. I know you put something in the chat, but I don't know if you wanted to do it personal. Uncle Lono, are you there? Of course, you did put something in the chat, folks, just to everybody, talking about what his Ohana plans to do in order to help rectify this egregious situation. Not too sure if he's by his computer or not. Anybody from the Ora Ching Ohana that's here that would like to speak on behalf of this project? What's going on? Checking to make sure, in fairness again. See, I don't see anybody. If anybody else sees anything, let me know, please. I'm going back and forth between two screens. Anybody? Okay, nothing from the Ora Ching Ohana, Uncle Lono again. Is there anything you'd like to add to the discussion?
I can add something. My name is Rupert Rowe, and I'm from Kauai. My ohana on the Big Island from Mo'iki is John Holly, which is my grandmother's nephew. This thing about the burials, when I first started construction in 1961, I seen the iwi kapunas come through the concrete. From 1960 to 1976, when they created OHA, the state was still in violation with the burials. It took the state 10 years to put the burial council together. But the burial council from 1986 to this very day still has the same problem. The reason we got this problem is we don't have an identity. So if we have an identity, you think we need SHPTI? You think we need every other state agency to make this decision for us? When I say we need an identity, when did the last Kanaka disappear? Can any one of you tell me that? So this question that I want to raise should be straight to the Attorney General. Identity. Our language identifies us as Kanaka Maole. Kanaka O'Ivi is they who lie down to rest forever. Kanaka means the guy coming here to take the body, or the guy leaving the body to go home. So when we all say we have this constitutional right in our language is our way to freedom without bucking heads with anybody out there. So if the state can give the water department an autonomy, you think the state cannot give us that same autonomy by our identity? Not by the blood quantum, no. It's very misleading because you measure yourself to those that are like you in the blood quantum. But if you measure yourself as the Kanaka Maole, it is very important. The reason I say this is because I'm in charge of the Kaneoluma Heiau on Kauai. In 2010, this was the first time Kauai ever participated with Kamehameha. So we took the pohaku from this heiau and placed it in Pu'okala. The reason we placed the pohaku, because we wanted to clean the piko. Our spiritual part we lost. By restoring the spiritual part, we restored our identity. Our identity is the key to all of these arguments. There's no such word as an inadvertent find. That's a filler word. Okay, nothing is inadvertent. We all know everybody's buried on every island, but the state takes us around in one circle. So this question that I want to raise is to this Attorney General, because next week I'm going to be on the Kauai Burial Council on their agenda. The one was I wanted to say, if we have that constitutional right in our language, then we should pursue that identity so that we do not have problems with our burials of our kapunas. Identity of our past is an identity of our future. So when we all focus on the word Kanaka Maole, we have that identity. The only thing I want from SHPTI is to tell me, when did the last Kanaka left Hawaii? They never left, they're still here. But we all came Hawaiians after statehood. Prior to statehood, every single ethnic group in Hawaii called you on Kanaka. After statehood, we all came Hawaiian. What's going on? It's our own self that we lost that identity by losing our language. Only through our language we can challenge the state in their Supreme Court to identify us by who we are, Kanaka Maole. And only that can free us from this misery and suffering that I see our people out there cry and show their emotion, but we never can come up with the answer. The answer to our freedom is the Kanaka Maole, and our language should be the driving force in the state Supreme Court in that identity. Once we have that identity, no other agency out there can manipulate the system the way it has manipulated the system. That's all I get to say. I only speaking from Kauai, but I have all my ohana on the Big Island. So, as I leave all of you, let the battle begin. Identity is our way to freedom. Always remember that. Identity. Kanaka maole na, not Hawaiian. Aloha to all of you out there. I'm glad that I had this opportunity. And I reach out to Kai Markel. Aloha, brother. And aloha.
Aloha, I love you.
Mahalo, Anakala, for your words of wisdom. It's always good to hear from the elders and all the wonderful words they have to share with us and help to give us direction. Mahalo nui. And always, aloha to the families on Kauai, please. Aloha. Aloha. Last time, Uncle Lono, Lyman, is there anything you'd like to add to this discussion? Okay, then also in fairness, I would also like to give the University of Hawaii an opportunity to give some manawa ike regarding this present situation.
I know you have a really important agenda item. I just want to mahalo all of you who shared. This is my first burial council meeting of any island. It affected me. I appreciate the incredibly hard work you members of the burial council, and I'm sure it's similar on other islands, do as volunteers. I've been at UH over 40 years, but in different jobs. I had no idea of this situation until OHA brought it to my attention late last year. And I can't speak for what happened since 2002. I don't know why balls were dropped, you know, the lack of clarity about land ownership that's been commented on is obviously very significant to implementing a burial treatment plan or a preservation plan. I look forward to doing our very best to try to make this right. And, you know, when we were selecting a consultant, I had no idea how good Loke Lani would be, but I couldn't be happier to have her representing us and helping us make this right. So aloha and mahalo.
Mahalo, Dr. Lassner. I appreciate you taking the opportunity to show up today for this meeting and to face a lot of the verbal ihe that you've been subjected to today. But again, takes a real warrior to do that, man. But thank you very much for being here today and hearing what has to be said. These meetings do get very emotional. There's no doubt about that. But again, it's of the utmost importance to us Kanaka Maoli, for sure. Yeah, because that's integral to who we are as Kanaka, is this Iwi Kupuna. So mahalo nui. Again, mahalo nui for being here and sharing what you did. Thank you. Anybody else from the university involved with this project? Want to say anything at this point in time? Any other council members? Loke Lani, anything? Kalena? Last but not least, of course, Keonio Keiki. Anything else you'd like to add for closure? To close this segment of our agenda, not closure, but closing this segment of our agenda. Anything? Nothing? Okay, then thank you very much, everybody, for being here and being part of this agenda item. One thing I do want to say, though, with regards to what Dr. Lassner has said, is that, again, just remember, all agenda items are important, yeah? All agenda items are important, no matter where they're placed on the agenda. It does not matter. As long as it's, again, taking care of our Iwi Kupuna and our Linolan cultural descendants, then it's a mea maika'i, a great thing to do. Okay, so mahalo nui.
Nale, sorry.
Yes, Kai.
I'm slow with the technology. So I just want to reiterate what I was saying before. Everybody has awesome mana'o and ike, and I think everybody is here really with the same intent. But sometimes for me, I'm really focused on those kupuna that were taken out in 1999 that have been sitting in boxes and shuffled around, and there's been no closure for them. And I think that's part of the eha that Keiki and Keone feel. And I'm not sure the status of them right now, where they are. And but I think the sooner they go back into where they were, and that's pa'a, a lot of this will open up and things will move. But until that original heva is fixed, I think that's a big concern. I know the MOA from back in, whatever it was, 2002, Keone and them and Keiki talk about BTP. There are elements of a BTP in that MOA. If the whole thing is not legal, well, some of the elements are important. Ike, that was shared 20 years ago. People cried over it. People gave their Ike, their Manao spirit, prompted people. Some of the Borough Council members are no longer with us, but their voices remain in those minutes about taking care of these kupuna. And I think that is something that needs to be salvaged and saved and built upon. So I would like, you know, Keone and Keiki will have to take the lead on how to get those iwi back to where they belong. It's unfortunate that they were kept as evidence in prosecutions that never came to fruition. And the statute of limitations are far gone. There's all these other issues, but that doesn't mean that you can't put them back and make sure that they're safe as you look at the rest of the issues. So that's my plea is, Let's all focus on those kupuna sitting in a box for 20 years and make sure that they're put to rest. And the last thing I want to say is the biggest lesson dealing with iwi has taught me in almost 30 years is it's not just about the dead. It's all about the living. And not just us, but the kupuna are living still. Many of them are still here helping, watching. They haven't ascended. And their biggest message always is, we cannot profess to care about the kupuna and hani'ino, the kanaka on the left or right of us. A lot of times people claiming iwi, that's not even your ohana. Mm-hmm. You think it is, but it's not. Guess what? The person next to you, that's their ohana. The same person that you hani'ino. So we got to be very pono in our intentions in life. And our words are powerful, right? Aeka mani loko kuhualelo. As Kumo John Kilaleko, he said, there's power in the word. So let's keep the aloha kikahi going, kikahi kikahi, aloha malama ike malama. You know, let's get together. We're good, and I feel much better at the end of this meeting than I did at the beginning. I just want to share that. So you know, love you, brother Keiki and Keone, and Nale for your leadership and everybody here. But let's see what it takes to get those kupuna back in from 1999. I don't know where they are right now, but it bothers me. So anyway, thank you.
Malanui Kai, and I did notice in the chat, sorry, County of Hawaii, saw that you did put something to the chat. Excuse me, would you like to say anything personal to the assembly today? This is Douglas Namley. Anything, or would that chat room suffice? Okay, folks. So again, thank you very much. I'm going to, if you don't mind, Borough Council, if we get a motion to take a little break. It'd be nice to drink some water and use the lua for sure. And then we will reconvene in about 10 minutes and then we'll start our agenda item H. Can I get a motion, please?
We need a motion, but I'll make a motion to please take a 10-minute break.
Mahalo. Second.
Second.
And motion made and seconded. We take a 10-minute break before we start our final agenda item for today's Hawaii Island Borough Council meeting. Again, thank you everybody for coming, and we'll see everybody in a few moments. Mahalo.
On agenda.
Hey, mahalo nui. Again, we are on agenda item H, and this one is soliciting testimony for the office.